Production, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Time to kick off a four-day weekend, 4th of July weekend, one of the best times in the baseball calendar. Coming up tonight, Friday Night Baseball in downtown Fayetteville. Game 3 of 6 between the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hello, everybody, and welcome inside the Woodpeckers radio booth. I'm Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey, and it is great to have you aboard once again on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, Bally live in the MILB First Pitch app. Colin, the Woodpeckers' offense a little cold right now. They're hoping some of these big crowds we expect out at Segra Stadium this weekend can spark them to a victory. And quickly, before we get to Zach Cole here on the pregame show and run back our recent conversation with him, the question really right now going into this game is where the Woodpeckers going to find their hits from?
Yeah, that's really been the issue all series long, just the couple of runs in the opener and shutout yesterday. Only three hits that they got against a really strong Kannapolis pitching staff. Right now, they just need someone to provide a spark. They haven't homered in seven games, the longest stretch of the year. Someone's got to get into one here. It's a hot day here at Segra Stadium. Hopefully for the Woodpeckers, someone can really break through offensively and turn this ship around.
We've got a couple of right-handers on the mound in Tyler Guilfoyle and Peyton Paulette of the Cannonballers. More numbers and starting lineups coming up as well here on the pregame show as we gear up for a 7:05 first pitch tonight in downtown Fayetteville at Segra Stadium. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Woodpeckers home run leader, RBI leader, and two-time Carolina League Player of the Week, and let you listen back on one of our recent conversations with Zach Cole that we had just before the close of the first half when the Woodpeckers were on that hot stretch and winners of 9 of 10. Enjoy that conversation after that first pitch from downtown Fayetteville on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. And welcome out into Healy's Bar. We're joined by Zach Cole, the Woodpeckers outfielder, home run RBI leader, triples leader, and the former 10th rounder out of Ball State by the Houston Astros. Zach, welcome out to Healy's Bar. I know you're usually down on the field, but good to have you up here in the bar.
Thanks, Chappie. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you having me out here.
Absolutely. You know, I got to start first, I think, with just the trend of the team right now. Sitting down talking with you, the team's won 9 of the last 10 ball games. Got really hot here towards the back end of the first half. How fun is it being on this stretch right now? What's the atmosphere like in the clubhouse and just enjoying coming to the ballpark every day?
Oh, the atmosphere is great. We're all super loose right now. We're just enjoying getting to play every day. And obviously, we've had some tough spells throughout the season, just like every team does. So to be able to come out here and not let those bother us, you know, maybe not have the best record, but just come out here and play every game like we have a 0-0 record. You know, the guys are really excited to come out here and play, and we've got a lot of confidence right now. Just enjoying getting to play every day, and obviously we've had some tough spells throughout the season, just like every team does. So to be able to come out here and not let those bother us, you know, maybe not have the best record, but just come out here and play every game like we have a 0-0 record. You know, the guys are really excited to come out here and play, and we've got a lot of confidence right now. It's really fun.
You know, you've hit at different parts of the lineup this year. Ever since the promotion of Ryan Clifford, you've gone from kind of the 3-4 spot up to the leadoff role. But there's guys in the lineup that keep giving you RBI opportunities. Mm-hmm. It seems like as a leadoff hitter,
you've come up with some bases loaded spots, you've hit some leadoff home runs. What can you say about the guys behind you in the lineup and the type of at-bats that they've been putting together for you?
Yes. Well, yeah, I said it with Colin last night when after the game. I have complete trust in the guys behind me in the lineup. There are a lot of guys in our lineup that are swinging it really well right now, and it doesn't matter if I'm leadoff or 7, 8, 9 or anywhere in between. Those guys are going to get the job done behind me, and I have full confidence in them.
You have a unique mix of power and speed where you've hit a team high home runs this year, 9 of them at this stage. You've stolen a lot of bases, second most behind Jackson Lofton. Do you think the new pro rules, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, has played to your strength at all with that power-speed combo?
Yeah, I would say slightly. Not so much the power aspect, but definitely the base running aspect. With pitchers only being allowed to pick off twice per batter, It kind of limits their ability and also their confidence and to make certain moves on the bases that they would have free rein with normally without the clock. So as a base runner who's aggressive and who can steal bases, you can kind of tweak those circumstances to your advantage if you know how to do it the right way. So I feel like it's a slight more advantage with the pitch clock, yeah.
We saw earlier in this homestand, you have a 2-triple game. Ricardo Belo had one just the other night as well. It was the first time any Woodpecker had done it in 5 years, and then two guys do it in the same series. So kind of weird how baseball works. But when you hit a ball in the gap here at Segra, there's some spots on the wall where it recedes a bit. Are you usually thinking three, or is it more you're thinking two and then you look at Ricky Rivera and decide what he wants to do?
You know, Ricky's a really good coach in letting us coach ourselves and you know, try to be, because this whole stage is trying to get us to mature as players and learn as players and be our own coaches and figure out our style of ball and what we want to play. So Ricky kind of lets me decide whether or not I want to push three or stay at two. It kind of comes down to me. I got the ball right in front of me usually when I'm rounding, so I can kind of make that judgment on myself. Mm-hmm. But normally, I just kind of take a read off the wall and see where it goes.
Let's dive a little bit more into your background. Mentioned Ball State University, and there's a Ball State connection all throughout the ballpark here. Michelle Skinner, our general manager, is from Ball State. I know Kara Beitler, the team dietitian from Ball State as well. What was it about that university, that baseball program, that you think prepared you to take the next step here in your pro career?
Well, it definitely made me a lot tougher mentally. And playing out there in the cold weather obviously made this seem pretty amazing.
But
the coaching staff out there at Ball State really prepared me to come out here and be able to handle the stress of everyday ball. At Ball State, I had a tough go around my first couple years with COVID my freshman year, and then injuries that kind of plagued me my sophomore year. A lot of adversity and ups and downs. But my junior year, I finally got a season where nothing impeded it, and I got to be healthy for the whole year, and I could kind of let my tools play out. And the coaches down there definitely helped promote a good atmosphere for me to be able to come out here.
They won a MAC championship this year, Ball State going to a regional. How much do you still keep in touch with those guys during that run? Do you text them at all, kind of root them on?
Absolutely, yeah. I still have quite a few good friends at Ball State that I was in touch with this year, and they'll be friends for life, for sure. And hopefully a couple of them that will be joining me in pro baseball here in a month or so.
Yeah, and it's cool when you go from college and taking classes to now baseball becoming your full-time job. It's what you come to do every day. And how do you think, you know, just your routine from, you know, eating, dieting, working out, all of that has changed since you've become a college student that still has to spend a lot of your attention in the classroom to now a full-time pro athlete?
It's definitely more routine-based here in the pro lifestyle. We get to the field around the same time every day, and we leave around the same time every day, give or take a rain delay here or there. But in college, it's extremely variable. You know, some days you have no classes, some days you have three classes, 8 a.m.s, maybe a noon class, and then you're trying to get lunch and you're rushing around everywhere. Here, it's a lot more of a slow-paced lifestyle, and you know pretty much what to expect every day before you head to the park. In college, it's kind of, you know, we'll see how it goes today.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. A few quick hitters here just to get to know a little bit more about Zach Cole. I got to ask you about your extra base hit celebration. You mix it up every once in a while, but usually you go with the fishing celebration. And I thought that was just a troll of the Carolina Mudcats when you were in Zebulon, but you've carried it on through other series. Where did the fishing motion come into play?
Actually, that was Below. He was the one that he introduced that to us one day in batting practice in Carolina. Okay. And it's kind of just stuck now. Every time I look over after a after an extra base hit, the guys are all reeling it in. So I kind of got to give them what they want to see.
All right. So Below started the trend, and it's carried on. And you know, how about the other thing was that a sport that you would get into if you were not playing professional baseball? What sport would you like to go pro in if you had the well-rounded ability to, you know,
that's
become
a
pro football player, basketball?
Football would have been cool, but my mom never let me play because she's a nurse practitioner.
Oh, okay.
I will say, in high school, I was pretty lethal at badminton.
Badminton, lethal.
Or pickleball.
Nice.
Any of those types of sports.
You know, they're nationally televising pickleball now. It seems like that's one of the trending sports in the U.S. right now.
You might see me out there one day after baseball's over.
There you go. Yeah, you know, in your 40s, your 50s, you know, you want to stay active, keep the pickleball dream going. How about preferred spot on a bus during a road trip, on a team bus?
Just a seat by myself. I don't really care where I sit on the bus, but when you get 40 guys on one bus, and you got a long bus ride and you have to stay upright the whole time.
Cause baseball starts now.
Dirty throws it deep left field. This ball's way back there. Tie game. 3-run home run. Line drive, out to left field, long run, it gets down, it hops off the wall, rounding third, that ball's in the bullpen, this game is over.
This will clear the bases. Whitaker going into third, he has driven home all three.
Deep line drive out of the right field, Manzueta looking up, it's gone! A two-run walk-off home run. And that pitch is called strike three. They have done it, the second combined no-hitter in Woodpeckers franchise history.
Woodpeckers baseball is live on the air Friday night in downtown Fayetteville, and we're ready for game three of six between the Woodpeckers and the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Hello again, everybody. Welcome on to the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Andrew Chapman along with Colin Casey on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, Bally Live, and MILB.TV. Tyler Guilfoyle, tonight's starting pitcher, delivers the first one of the night, and it is low and outside to Mario Camaletti. 7:08 p.m. We are underway tonight in Fayetteville, and it's a cooker, 87 degrees, partly cloudy. A couple of small rain cells in the area. We're hoping those stay away from us as we get underway and kick off a four-day holiday weekend. One of the best spots of the minor league calendar, expecting big crowds Friday through Monday as this series carries on. Guilfoyle falls behind Camaletti, the left-hander 2-0. Here's his pitch, and a slider missed up and away. Three balls and no strikes. The Cannonballers have a 2-0 lead in this series. Wins on back-to-back nights on the road, and yesterday they were able to shut out the Woodpeckers, hand them their eighth shutout loss of the year in a 7-0 final. 3-0 pitch is in the zone, 92-mile-per-hour fastball from Guilfoyle, and the count to 3-1. Mario Camaletti batting .272 on the year, no home runs and 32 RBIs, and now he can add a league-high 55th walk to his tally as he scoots out of the way of an inside slider. And Kannapolis gets the leadoff man aboard. Camaletti strolls to first. Wilbur Sanchez stepping into the plate. And Colin has the Fayetteville defensive alignment for you in this one.
It's the one error yesterday for the Woodpeckers in the 7-0 shutout loss. Luis Encarnacion back in the lineup. He's out in left field. Zach Cole, the center fielder. Roylon Machandy is in right. Jackson Lofton, the third baseman. Leo's Danny Molina at short. Dari Lorenzo, the second baseman. Garrett McGowan back at first base. And John Garcia back behind the plate.
First pitch to Sanchez goes to the backstop. John Garcia plays the carom and fires down to second, but can't get it there in time to get Camaletti. Very close play as that ball ricocheted right back to Garcia. Corey Gerber working the bases today. And the plate umpire is Brandon Schmidt. About as close as you can get of throwing out a runner on a wild pitch. John Garcia almost did the job. And it is 1-0. Tyler Guilfoyle a little erratic to begin his day. Five-pitch walk to Camiletti and then the wild one to Sanchez. So it's one ball and no strikes on the right-handed hitting shortstop. Guilfoyle working out of the stretch from the first base side of the rubber. Goes to the belt. Left leg kick and pitch. And a slider just missed outside. 2-0 on Wilbur Sanchez. He's batting .218 on the season with one home run and 22 RBIs. 32 total hits on the season to 16 walks, and he has an on-base of just under .300 at .297. Next pitch home, and that's just outside. Tyler Guilfoyle trying to work away from a right-hander, and Garcia was a little hesitant to throw that pitch back. He thought that might have been a strike right on the edge. Instead, 3-0 as Sanchez gets ahead quickly. Here's the pitch, and that misses down and away. So back-to-back walks, 8 balls on 9 pitches for Tyler Guilfoyle, and Zach Wilkins, Fayetteville pitching coach, going to waste no time. He is quickly out of the dugout and going to head out there to talk to Guilfoyle and Garcia. With the offense struggling a little bit right now, Colin, just 2 runs over the first 2 games. Shutout yesterday, a loss on Wednesday as well. The pitching staff is going to have to be with wins Woodpeckers games right now until the offense kind of figures it out. Woodpeckers really can't afford walks early or giving up free base runners.
Yeah, and it was that yesterday's ball game, which started out 6 scoreless on both sides. So they did their job up until that 7th inning when things started to get away. Eventually, the offense is going to have to break through. But when your offense is slumping, you really can't afford to give up any crooked numbers early in ball games to set them back. And this is a great chance here for the Cannonballers. Heart of the order coming up. And already a couple runners on base, and they haven't even had to take the bat off their shoulders.
Guilfoyle has not had walk issues this year. 30 and a third innings coming into what is his 11th appearance tonight and 6th start. And a 13-43 walk-to-strikeout ratio. Bryce Willits now the left-hander. Takes the first pitch, a strike, and it is 0-1. So Guilfoyle, the 23-year-old right-hander, an 8th-round pick a season ago out of the University of Kentucky. And originally from the state of Kentucky, he grew up in Lexington. Here's the kick in the 0-1 home. Willits swings, foul tips, and Garcia holds on to it behind the plate. It is nothing and 2 on Willits.
Guilfoyle has never given up a run in the first inning this season so far, trying to keep that intact.
Willits batting .257 on the year with what is now a team-high 8 home runs. Fastball missed up high, and it is 1-2. That's after the promotion of Tim Elko, who had a league-leading 15 before his bump to Winston-Salem in the dash. 28 RBIs, 53 total hits for Willits. He has an on-base of .347. First and second, nobody out, and he takes a strike on the low outside corner. And that's strike 3. Home plate umpire Brandon Schmidt, I think, lost the count there. He kind of gave it the casual strike call. But that is the first out for Tyler Guilfoyle, and perhaps a little adjustment after that meeting on the mound with Wilkins to help him climb back into this inning. Now a force at every base, one gone. And Jonaker Betancourt, the cleanup hitter, first baseman, and right-handed bat stepping in. Guilfoyle continues out of the stretch and spins a slider very far outside. It is 1-0. Betancourt, 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, batting .236 on the year. Kannapolis has really gotten a lot of production out of all parts of their order last 2 nights following the promotions of Elko and Jacob Burke. Betancourt swings late on a fastball, and it's 1-1. Colby Smelly is the 5-hitter. Ryan McCarthy is 6. And then the 7 through 9 are Logan Glass, Drake Logan, and Javier Mora. Kannapolis tied for first place in the Carolina League South first 5 games of the second half. They have a 4-1 record over that stretch and enter tonight 39-31 overall in the season. They're looking for win number 40 after handing the Woodpeckers loss number 40 yesterday. 1-2 the count off second Camiletti. Sanchez on first, one away. And Guilfoyle kicks and pitches. And he gets it on the outside corner for strike 3. Betancourt goes down looking, and Tyler Guilfoyle has followed his game-opening walks with back-to-back Ks.
And he's been so great against right-handed batters this season. Comes in with them hitting just 117 on the year. Got a big strikeout against the lefty in Willetson. This time it was the right-hander Betancourt. Couldn't pull the trigger on that slider that just moved so much laterally. Perfect location.
So now it's Colby Smellie, right-handed batter with runners at first and second, two gone, and the pitch is a called strike on the high outside corner. 0-1. Smellie with no home runs, five RBIs, brought down from high A Winston-Salem, perhaps because of some of the catching injuries that this Cannonballers team is going through right now with Troy Klontsch and Luis Pineda on the IL. As the strike is in there to Smellie. And he's been effective since his return, .349 in the Carolina League with 15 hits and a .429 on-base percentage.
Yeah, despite all the injuries, him and Juan Gonzalez have stepped up nicely in the role, and both of them hitting over .300 coming into today.
A little bit of shade across the ballpark and a little bit of sun trying to peek through the clouds as well as Guilfoyle trying to strike out three in a row to close the inning, and he just missed outside with a slider. Not a bad pitch. Started middle, worked away from the right-hander, and Smellie able to lay off of it and get it to a one ball and two strike count. Tyler Guilfoyle's had to throw 20 pitches at this stage in the opening inning. Runners holding it first and second after the leadoff walks. 1-2 pitch is lifted foul and over the roof of the Avex Club, out of play. So it stays where it is. The Woodpeckers dropped a couple of games in Charleston to begin the second half. Two games in home here, and they're three games out already, five games in at 1-4 in the second half. This is about as important of a series as you could really have to start the second half as well. Every win means a little more in division. 1-2, and it misses outside. Back to even on Colby Smellie, two balls and two strikes. Every game you win right now, you gain a game on first place. Every game you lose, you fall a game back in first place. That's how the structure with the standings is right now between these two ball clubs. Guilfoyle trying to set down Colby Smellie, the fifth batter he's faced in the inning. A swing and a fly ball out to right, and it will slice under the roof of Bagwell's Burgers. Keep the count going. 20-plus pitches in, and Tyler Guilfoyle probably didn't want to work a long two-strike battle, but Colby Smellie is making him do so here.
And as that pitch count goes up, slowly but surely starting to see some stretching in that Fayetteville bullpen, just in case.
Jose Fleury is the tandem partner, expected to go later in the game behind Guilfoyle. 2-2 coming home again. Smellie checks, and he went too far. After the meeting on the mound, Tyler Guilfoyle labors his way through the inning, but strikes out three straight and strands two ballers on the bases. We're going to the bottom of the first for the first time on this Friday night. Zach Cole, Luis Encarnacion, Dari Lorenzo grabbing the bats when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
The World Bunker. Bunker's Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop right here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Let's give a country welcome to Bunker! One more time, make some noise for Bunker! Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at all their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three.
You wanna have a house party? If you wanna be a homebody, we're gonna have a house party.
Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number six, Zach Cole.
Just underway in downtown Fayetteville. It's country night tonight out at the ballpark. Zach Cole leads it off, and the first pitch misses up and outside for ball one from Kannapolis right-hander Peyton Paulette. Cole and then Luis Encarnacion, and the switch hitter Dari Lorenzo will lead off the inning. Cole checks and went too far on an inside fastball, one and one. Garrett McGowan, John Garcia, Leo Molina are the middle three, and then Jackson Lofton, Sandra Gastone, and Royland Machandi round out the bottom of the order. Right-hander Paulette pitches, and Cole lines it left side and through. That's going to get down into left field. A leadoff base hit for Zach Cole gets the night started. And our ball game has its first hit as well. First ball in play. And you said it, Colin, going to break after that first inning. He said a lot of action for a game that did not have a single ball in play, or an inning that didn't have a single ball in play.
Yeah, exactly that. Zach Cole came into today as the only guy with a hit in both games, now has a hit in all three to start this series.
Yeah, yesterday went 1-for-4 with a sixth inning single. Now Luis Encarnacion rips at the first pitch, and he got a little tied up on 95, and it's nothing and one. Luis Encarnacion hitting 256, one of the top averages on the club right now. Four homers and 20 RBIs. He had a few multi-hit games last week in Charleston. Swings and hits a deep fly out into left. Glass going back. He gets to the wall, and it's off the middle of the fence. Zach Cole hustling to third as the ball caroms back towards the infield. Glass thrown to the grass, not in time. Cole works his way home, and Encarnacion starts the scoring tonight with a double. Back-to-back hits against Paulette, and it's 1-0 Fayetteville in the bottom of the first inning. A team that's been a little bit cold on the offensive end, needing that energy at the jump tonight.
That's one way to get yourself out of a slump, is go right after the starter on the mound for Kannapolis. Saw Cole just drive one the other way to left field, and then Encarnacion just barely missed a home run, hit right off the middle of the fence. Glass having trouble fielding it off that wall. The ball bounded a good 15 feet away from him, and that's all that Zach Cole needed to score from first.
And now it's Dari Lorenzo swinging through a high fastball, and it's nothing and one. Peyton Paulette with a 4.33 ERA now in the season after he gives up that RBI double to Encarnacion. Enca's seventh double of the season, driving in his 21st run. And there's a breaking ball that wraps around the outside, and it's called strike to Dari. Nothing and two. Lorenzo batting 208 on the year. He has one home run that he hit against the Cannonballers on the road earlier in the month. And eight RBIs in the season, 30 total base hits. And here's the pitch. It is just inside. A 92-mile-per-hour fastball from Paulette. One and two the count. Back-to-back base hits to start the game. A single to left and then a double to left. Paulette peeks to second base where Encarnacion increases his lead, and he misses low with a breaking ball. That'll even the count on Lorenzo at 2-2. Almost saw a home run right there, which would have put an end to a long drought for the Woodpeckers lineup. Have not homered in seven straight ball games. Longest stretch of the season, one of the longest in franchise history. 2-2. And this one's hit well out into right. Logan going back. He's onto the track. He gets to the wall, leaps up, and it is out of here. There goes that home run spell. Dari Lorenzo, touch them all, his second of the year. And from the jump, it's 3-0 Peckers.
Second of the year for Lorenzo, second against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. It, like you said, seven straight games. That was tied for a franchise record. Most games in a row where the Fayetteville Woodpeckers did not hit a home run. How about the guy who hasn't really been known for his power this year? Got a two-strike pitch, worked a deep count right down the middle, and he just snuck it over that right field wall.
So three batters in, and the Woodpeckers have a 3-0 lead. Garrett McGowan into the left side, and the right-hander Paulette, no doubt a little jarred to get things going here, delivers. And he drops in a breaking ball. Garrett McGowan batting 146. He's got plenty of pop from the left side. Here's the pitch home, and a slider rings him up looking. McGowan goes down. John Garcia will come up. That's the first home run inside of Segra Stadium for Dari Lorenzo in his career. That one's got to feel good for Dari, getting that crowd behind him for the first time. It's been a lot of singles for Lorenzo this year, and no doubt June has been his best month at the plate out of all of them. Starting to find a little bit more consistency at the plate. And for a guy who's hitting in the heart of the order right now with the absences of Narbe Cruz and Ricardo Belo, those are the types of swings his dugout loves to see him produce. 1-0 on John Garcia as the wind and the pitch comes in, and he checks his swing. Here's a roller going back to the mound. Paulette forward to field, hustles towards first, and underhand flips to Betancourt, and there are two gone. Leo Stani Molina coming up, and after all the offense, let's look at the defense behind Paulette for Kannapolis.
Saw Logan Glass out there and left trying to cover after that ball off the wall. Out in center, it was McCarthy who left at the wall trying to take that one back, but could not come up with it. Out in right, it is Drake Logan. Bryce Wiltz, a third baseman. Wilbur Sanchez is at short as the first pitch is a called strike. Javier Mora gets his first action in the series at second base. Jonaker Betancourt back at first, and Colby Smelly doing the catching for Paulette.
Leo Stani Molina into the right side, watches a slider get by the catcher, and that evens the count 1-1. Paulette coming into today had surrendered 3 home runs over 35 and a third innings. Really not a huge issue for him as Molina flies it shallow along the right field line, slicing away from Logan. He sprints over to his left, gets underneath, makes the catch, and that'll do it for a action-packed first inning for the Woodpeckers. 3 batters in, they take a 3-0 lead on a double from Encarnacion and a 2-run home run from Dari Lorenzo. We're going to the second. Highlights for this big crowd on a Friday in downtown Fayetteville. What I want.
Leading off the top of the second inning for the Cannonballers, the center fielder, number 37, Ryan McCarthy.
Tyler Guilfoyle spotted a 3-0 lead as he goes back out to the mound for the top of the second inning and gets first pitch swing out of Ryan McCarthy to begin things. A 2-run home run by Dari Lorenzo, the big swing in the inning. 3 straight base hits against Paulette to get things going. RBI double by Encarnacion as well. Here's a foul ball into the screen, and it's quickly 0-2. And it was almost Kannapolis that started things with a big inning. They got their first 2 runners on with walks to begin the first. And then after a meeting on the mound, Tyler Guilfoyle really locked in and struck out 3 straight hitters in the heart of the Kannapolis lineup. So he had to work hard, but then his offense had his back in the next frame. 1-2 on McCarthy. Recently added to the Kannapolis roster, 300 hitter with 3 hits on the year. And he breaks the bat, skips it off the mound on the ground, fielded near second by the shortstop Molina. He steps to first and throws out McCarthy for out number 1. So Guilfoyle has set down four straight since his two walks began the game, and he gets ready to face Logan Glass. This series carries through the 3rd of July. We'll have a Monday night ball game here on the 3rd and a big fireworks show. Fireworks tonight as well, the usual Friday arrangement. Really good crowd filing in as a slight breeze blows out to left and cools off the temperatures a bit. Still some shade as well with some scattered clouds covering the diamond, and I would imagine helping out the players a little bit as we approach July and the heat starts to pick up as well here on the East Coast. The 0-1 to Glass. And a fastball in there for a strike. It is 0-2. Logan Glass, a 212 hitter. He had a big double yesterday in the 7th inning that put two in scoring position and sparked a multi-run inning and helped Kannapolis go on to win 7-0. And the pitch missed high. Last night's final really didn't tell the tale of the game. As Colin mentioned earlier, it was scoreless going into the 7th. Fayetteville got 5 scoreless from their starter, Luis Angel Rodriguez. Drew McDaniel was really good for Kannapolis with a quality start, scoreless over 6. And then the offense just kind of broke open late against the Fayetteville bullpen. And then on Tuesday night, you had a couple of defensive errors that led to a total of 4 unearned runs. 1-2 pitch coming home and a line drive pulled out to short. It'll drop in front of Molina. He scoops, throws high to first, but McGowan reels it in. And there are 2 gone. Leo Molina, who looked good yesterday defensively, getting some early chances tonight.
Yeah, we're really seeing the best out of Molina defensively after he had that miscue in game 1, a line drive that went right through his glove. But since then, he has looked like the guy we saw in 2022, which is one of the best defensive shortstops in the Carolina League. He was about to backhand that ball, last second realized it was coming right at him, switched to the forehand, made it a much easier play on him.
Drake Logan's at bat starts out with a strike. Logan had to come into the game yesterday due to an injury. Here's the pitch, and it is called a strike, top of the zone. Yesterday, early in the game, it was Joanabel Laureano who rolled an ankle running up the first baseline. He rolled the ankle on the bag, and Logan had to take over. He swings, foul tips, and that's strike 3. Garcia holds on to it, and after the Woodpeckers score 3, Guilfoyle sets down 3 straight. 3-0, Woodpeckers going to the home second when we come back.
Fans, take a look at the video board. These 2 lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house.
You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Sometimes today, yo.
You've won a tumbler courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, show us those tumblers. So cool, all right.
On the mound for the Cannonballers, Peyton Paulette.
Ride with no sin. Got me feeling brilliant. Ride with no sin.
Leading off the bottom of the 2nd inning for the Woodpeckers, the 3rd baseman, number 22, Jackson Lofton.
Welcome back to downtown Fayetteville, where we play the bottom of the 2nd inning. Jackson Lofton gets to lead it off for the Woodpeckers and fouls the first pitch back into the screen. It is 0-1. 3-run top, bottom of the first, should say, with a 2-run home run from Dari Lorenzo, RBI double from Luis Encarnacion. 0-1 to Lofton, looked up and inside, and that is called a strike from Brandon Schmidt on a zone that certainly looked like it expanded on Lofton. He'll take a timeout, step out, and regather in an 0-2 count. Sandra Gastone is on deck, and then Roiland Machandi in the hole. Lofton with that bent stance, keeps the feet about even. Paulette, the pitcher, delivers and misses outside. 1-2 on Jackson Lofton, comes in batting 168. Nothing doing yesterday, went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts and has three home runs, 17 RBIs on the year. Paulette peers over the black mitt, winds, fires, and Lofton swings, puts a charge into it, out to center. McCarthy going back, and on a move, he makes the catch on the track as he approached the wall, and Lofton gives it a good ride, but flies out for the first out of the inning. Good coverage of space in the outfield by McCarthy, the recently acquired Chicago White Sox farmhand.
He had quite the start to his season independent ball with the Great Falls Voyagers. Hit 372 with them, and his hard work paid off.
First pitch strike to Sandro Gaston.
I'm sure he saw a lot of Carolina League baseball action growing up, too, as he went to the Citadel in Charleston.
Tapper at the plate. Yeah, the River Dogs, who have been around since the 90s, that ballpark right down the street from the Citadel football stadium. A lot of college sports out there in the area. Sandro Gaston DHing today, has batted 170 on the year with a home run and 21 RBIs. And time is called. Gaston steps out. 35 hits for Sandro. He had the 12 home runs last year in the DSL. Power hasn't translated just yet to single A ball, but still trying to adjust as a hitter when it comes to facing opposing breaking balls. That's been the one and a hole in his game so far that opposing scouting reports have tried to expose. Here's the wind, the leg kick, and the 1-2. Gaston lines it foul into the screen up above the first base dugout. Kannapolis is in the Blues again today, a blue jersey top with ballers in white cursive across the chest, a red numeral on the front of the jersey, red numeral on the back, a blue cap, and a gray pant. Gaston takes a fastball just outside. Meanwhile, the Woodpeckers are in the retro threads today, that white uniform top with the gray, black, and red striping detail down the torso, a black numeral on the back, black belt, and a white pant. Gaston rips a ground ball over to short, knocked down on a sliding backhand by Sanchez. He picks up, throws to first, not in time. Sandro Gaston just barely legs it out on a ball that was really well struck over to shortstop. Sanchez did what he could to get level with that ball, knock it down, almost picked it cleanly, and then had the agility to get to his feet and get a throw off nearly in time to strike down Gaston. But they'll flash a hit up on the board, fourth hit of the game for the Woodpeckers.
He certainly earned that one. He had to take a long stride at the very end of that run down to first base and just landed there as the ball came to Betancourt.
The new hitter is Royland Machandi, and he takes the first pitch for a strike. Again, the home plate umpire today is Brandon Schmidt. He worked the bases yesterday, the plate in game one, and Corey Gerber is the base umpire, two-man umpiring crew in the black ball caps, the black polos, and the dark gray pants. Here's the belt tie set as Paulette works out of the stretch, pitches, and puts a strike in there to Royland Machandi, and it's nothing in two. Machandi at 184 on the year, a home run, three RBIs, 295 on base percentage, and he has a couple of doubles as well. Two-strike pitch is slapped foul. Count remains nothing and two.
He can really be a difference maker for this Woodpeckers team if he's able to get on base consistently. We saw in the FCL and lower levels Dominican League, he runs wild on the base pass. Question is, can he continue to get on base at a consistent rate?
Next pitch sails high. And the count to 1-2 on Machandi. Yeah, and the speed translates to the outfield as well. Really good closing speed. He takes good routes. He made a sliding catch up along the left field line after a long sprint Charleston that really raised some eyebrows. Here's the 1-2. And he held a swing on a slider that was low. Two balls and two strikes as Machandi gets back to even in the count.
A lot of similar tools to Rolando Espinosa, former Woodpecker. Had a lot of speed as well and turned singles into doubles and even triples.
3-0 Fayetteville after a three-run home first inning. Sandro Gaston leads off of first on an infield single, one away. Here's the pitch. Machandi takes it outside. And he's gone from 0-2 down to now a full count, 3-2. Paulette getting ready to throw his 35th pitch of the night. He's consistently throwing mid-90s, 94, 95. The 22-year-old second-rounder out of the University of Arkansas delivers and strikes out Machandi. Slider to the outside corner got him. And that is the second strikeout for Paulette.
And even though this hasn't been a great outing so far for Peyton Paulette, if you're a White Sox fan, you're happy to see that velo up. Remember, this is a guy who is just about now 18 months removed from Tommy John surgery back in January of last year.
Yeah, it looks strong out there on the mound when it comes to the velocity. And a good breaking ball as well as it bottoms out on Zach Cole, gets him to swing through, and it's nothing and one on the Woodpeckers leadoff hitter. He gets to bat for his second straight inning, singled and scored the first run of the game in the bottom of the first. That was the 42nd run he's scored this year to go along with his 42 walks and 43 RBIs. And a slider circles around the edge, and it's in there, strike two. Gastone hanging out at first since his one-out single. Mora, Camaletti, and Sanchez, the 9-1 and 2, are the batters scheduled for Guilfoyle in the top of the third. Here's the 0-2. Gastone's breaking. Gastone swings, and he fouls it behind the screen, or rather Cole swings, and Gastone will have to hustle back to first base.
I think he's got a steal or two on the year.
I believe he's perfect. I think he's 2-for-2. He picks his spots very selectively, but when he has gone, he's been successful. Middle infield, Sanchez and Mora press back. Here's the 0-2 to Cole, and he strikes out swinging on a Paulette changeup underneath the zone. The inning is over. The Woodpeckers add a fourth hit, but they leave Gastone down at first base. They have a 3-0 lead through two tonight on Country Night. Start a 4th of July weekend as well on a fun Friday in downtown Fayetteville.
Doug with our Cowboys.
Thank you, sir. Hey, y'all, and yeehaw, it's Country Night. We can't have Country Night without the Pony Wrangle Dash. It's brother versus sister down there. It's Kylie versus Aiden. Kylie battling for all the women of the world. Aiden battling for all the men. Choose your side. Place your bets. Are y'all ready? They got to lasso their pony and bring it to me. 3, 2, 1, go. Come on. Them ponies going to get away. Come on, Aiden. Aiden. Kylie, come on. Oh, my goodness. Need to take y'all to a dude ranch. Come on, Kylie. Aiden. Come on. Come on, folks. Give it up for them. Jump on those ponies. Tackle those ponies and bring them back here. Come on. Those ponies are getting away. Hurry up. There they come. Oh, Aiden. Aiden's making up for not being able to lasso. Here he comes. To the finish line. It's Aiden. Bragging rights in the family for the rest of your lives. Give me a big go, Packers.
Go, Packers!
That's right.
Somebody pass that fifth of camp this way. I'll turn it up.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Guilfoyle. We just hold it down here and BFE. Still rolling. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Cannonballers, the second baseman, number 9, Javier Mora.
Top of the third inning in Fayetteville, and the Woodpeckers have a 3-0 lead here in Game 3 of the week against the Ballers. Bottom of the order, and Javier Mora leads it off. And now to take you through the play-by-play, let's send it over to Colin Casey.
Thank you, Andrew Chapman, and there's a breaking ball to start off. Javier Mora in his first at-bat of the series misses upstairs from Guilfoyle. Mora, 150 batting average on the year, no homers, and 4 driven in. And he is way out in front of the off-speed from Guilfoyle. That's the old sweeper he throws. 3-pitch mix, fastball, sweeper, and the changeup. Start to see that a lot more rather than a conventional curveball or slider. It's a little bit in between. Fly ball hit to shallow left center field. Encarnacion coming in, and he makes the catch. And Guilfoyle has set down 7 in a row since back-to-back leadoff walks to begin his outing.
Yeah, post game, I'll have to go up to Zach Wilkins. And hey, what'd you say to Guilfoyle after he threw 8 balls on 9 pitches, started his game with back-to-back walks? Whatever it was, a mechanical tweak or just a kind of a mental thing, it has locked him in, and he's looked great in the 3-9.
Here is the man who drew that leadoff walk, Mario Camaletti. Takes strike one on the inside corner. Ended up at second base. That's where he would stand after Guilfoyle struck out the side in order through the heart of the Kannapolis lineup. Camaletti shows bunt, but he pulls it back at the last second. Guilfoyle went to Lafayette High School in Kentucky. Was a fringe top 1,000 national prospect out of high school. As Camaletti can't bunt it in fair territory, it is 1-2. He was the 35th overall prospect in the state of Kentucky. Started out at Lipscomb University before eventually transferring to his hometown school, the University of Kentucky. Fastball high, and it's 2-2. That's kind of been a lot of the stories of some of the guys we've seen come through the Woodpeckers over the last couple of years. Not exactly the highest touted high school prospects, but they have certainly earned their stripes in college and now at the professional level. 3-2 now on Camaletti, who looks to draw his second walk. Trey Dombrowski, another guy in that dugout that came out of high school as a relatively unknown commodity. As Camaletti stays alive, 3-2 still. Of course, Nick Swanson, another guy coming out of Northeastern State College. Breaking ball hit on the ground and past the lunge of Lorenzo into right field. And Camaletti has himself a one-out single. Second time he has reached and also broke a tie for the second longest on base streak this year by a Kannapolis Cannonballer. He still has a ways to go to run down Jacob Burke. But he keeps doing his job as the leadoff man, and that is just get on base. The runner at first, one down for Wilbur Sanchez, who also walked in his first trip. First pitch to Sanchez. And Guilfoyle misses outside with the heater. Sanchez was a 9-hitter yesterday, but tallied a pair of RBIs in his last 2 at-bats. One on a fielder's choice in the 7th, another on a 9th-inning RBI base hit. There's the slow off-speed. And Sanchez out in front, caught Garcia, the catcher, on the backswing. Guilfoyle too shy of the 50-pitch mark. That efficient second inning got him back on track after he had to throw a lot in that first. Flared foul straight into the netting, and it's 1-2. Again, this is the second half of this series between the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers. Unconventional with the late start due to the 2 off days, Monday, Tuesday. So I'm running Wednesday through Monday. Fastball sails up and outside. And then it'll be 6 straight after that at Five County Stadium, where the Carolina Mudcats host Fayetteville for the 2nd time this season. It'll be a great atmosphere on the 4th of July in Zebulon. The 2-2, swing and a miss. 91 on the fastball from Guilfoyle, sneaks it past Sanchez for his 5th strikeout, 2 down. Guilfoyle's velocity hasn't exactly been what we saw earlier in the year, where it was upwards of 95, 96, but it is still very effective with that arm slot that he releases it at. Very tough to pick it up out of his hand, and Sanchez could not catch up. Camaletti still at first, and Bryce Willits takes first pitch low, 1-0. Willits went down looking. His first time up. Swings away 1-0 and sends it foul over our heads. The former UC Santa Barbara player, also played at St. Mary's College of California up in Moraga. In his 2019 season there, transferred during the pandemic to UC Santa Barbara. Played 2 years there. Swing and a miss, and Willett's behind 1-2. Put together a really solid final collegiate year. Hit 302 with a .410 on base percentage. Five homers, 33 driven in. Earned him a selection from the Chicago White Sox. Another one fouled back by Willits. And you'll see another 1-2 pitch. That 18th round saw the Astros take outfielder Isaiah Jackson out of high school, but Jackson did not sign. Fly ball hit in the air, left side, backing up the third baseman Lofton, and he will make the catch right next to the foul line to end the inning. So the Camaletti one-out single does not faze Tyler Guilfoyle. He is through three scoreless here at Segra Stadium. Fayetteville leads 3-0 as we go to the bottom of the third on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Pat's down here. Give us a second. Come on. Come on up, buddy. Come on. All right. This is Isabel. This is Joel. This is Jackson. And that's Luke. It's their birthday. And I need everybody in this stadium. Everybody. It's country night. I need everybody in this stadium to sing happy birthday. Are you ready? One, two, three. The children, they to you, yeah. Hey, kids, come here. Say, go Packers.
Go Packers.
That's right.
There's not a better place to celebrate your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie Sweets and More. Visit the fan information table or contact the front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium.
You had one foot out the door. I swear I didn't see. But if you're really going anyway, here's some final words from me. Down. Take a little note to remind you in case you didn't know.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Peyton Pallett.
Go to lunch in a Jewish community. I won't tell on the bros for the immunity.
Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 23, Luis Encarnacion.
Luis Encarnacion leads it off in the home half of the third inning. The Woodpeckers on top, 3-0. Colin Casey, Andrew Chapman on the call, as always, all season long for every home game here in downtown Fayetteville. Encarnacion went around on a check swing for strike one. Curveball foul back and make it 0-2. Encarnacion with the RBI double off the left field wall to get the party started in the first inning. It was a three-run first as man on deck DeLorenzo launched a two-run home run immediately following. Peyton Paulett, the fastball outside. It is 1-2. Mentioned Paulett with the Tommy John surgery in January of last year as he gets a changeup over for a called strike three. Set down Encarnacion. That's now three consecutive strikeouts for Peyton Paulett. But he got the surgery in January of last year. The injury took place in the spring of the previous year in 2021. He tried to rehab it, but ultimately he opted to get the surgery. Missed all of the 2022 calendar year as Lorenzo fouls off the first pitch he sees. And as we can see, the stuff is still there for him. Fastball still has a lot of life. Now 18 months removed from the surgery. He still has that great curveball, the highest graded out of the 2022 draft class. Has a ton of spin. He goes to it on Lorenzo and backdoors him, 1-2. Also has the changeup, which usually sits in the mid-upper 80s, but it has a lot of fade at the end of it. And he went right to it there, right on cue, but Lorenzo keeps the bat on his shoulder, 2-2. A lot of comparisons to Walker Buehler, the former Vanderbilt Commodore. They say more power, but a little bit less polish. Fastball up and in at 95. There's that power. It's 3-2. Garrett McGowan, cleanup man, waits on deck. Payoff pitch, and Lorenzo with a broken bat line drive. Paulette knocks it down, bobbles it, but he bobbled it in the right direction towards first base, and he can just simply underhand it to Betancourt for the 1-3 put out, two down. More solid contact from Dari Lorenzo, but he moves to 1-for-2, and here comes McGowan. Went down looking in his first at-bat. And the 17th rounder from a year ago takes ball one outside. Not quite a year just yet, but you look around the corner, that MLB draft. Just about a week away, July 9th. Good curveball from Paulette to even things at 1-1.
Have you been going through your mock drafts?
Oh, yeah.
Checking them out? I usually check out one a day. MLB Pipeline came out with theirs today.
Gowan swings through the breaking ball again. And right now the debate seems to be whether it'll be Cruz or Skeens that goes first overall. A couple of LSU Tigers. Cruz, the center fielder, with a historic season. And Paul Skeens, who has become a bit of a cult legend down in Baton Rouge. Fastball just inside. Good take by McGowan.
Yeah, there were weird rumors circulating the last few days that Dylan Cruz might not want to go to Pittsburgh, but you wonder if that's actually coming from him or from other executives to try and mess with the draft order. Kind of weird around this time of year, the baseball business.
2-2 swung on and missed. Gallen will try to run it out to throw up the line by Smelly in time to end the inning. Peyton Paulette has rebounded nicely after the rough first inning. He has set down 5 in a row. The Woodpeckers go down in order. And we're on to the fourth inning. Fayetteville leads 3-0.
Field crew, visit Bobcat of Fayetteville off Highway 24 in East Fayetteville.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories.
Thank you for that.
It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July.
Fans, at this time, we'd like to recognize Sergeant First Class Jason Tima. Jason Tima has been serving in the Army since 2003 and has just reached his 20th year. He has been on numerous deployments to Iraq, Iraqi Freedom, and Enduran Freedom. He has been a part of the 160th SOAR 82nd Airborne Special Forces Command and PSYOPs. Let's hear it for Sergeant First Class Jason Tima, and thank you for your service.
From the fields of Indiana to the swamps of Louisiana to the Golden Coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he His purple heartbeat won't stop. And his 18th birthday was the day he was born. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his life. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, for these stars and stripes. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, stand on the front.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Guilfoyle. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Cannonballers, the first baseman, number 2, Yonaker Betancourt.
It's the middle of the Kannapolis order to begin the fourth inning as they look to try to solve Fayetteville right-hander Tyler Guilfoyle. Starts off with the sweeper outside, 1-0. Woodpeckers with a trio of runs in the first inning. RBI double, Luis Encarnacion. Two-run shot, Dari Lorenzo. That's where we stand now at 3-0. Betancourt takes a called strike, 1-1. Went down looking in that first inning. 1-1 pitch. Fastball, strike two. Betancourt with the big two-run home run on Wednesday in that three-run sixth inning that gave the Cannonballers the lead for good. He went back-to-back with Joanna Bialoriano, who is out of the lineup today. He left due to injury in last night's contest. Two balls, two strikes, the pitch, and there's the sweeper again. Catches Betancourt out in front. Strikeout number six for Guilfoyle. And with one down, up comes the catcher, Colby Smelly.
Well, he's been pretty efficient in the second and the third pitch count-wise after he had to throw over 20 pitches in that first inning. Bullpen started to mingle a little bit. And you say, okay, they're going to have to work to Fleury, but Guilfoyle is getting to the point here in the mid-innings where he might be able to make that clean transfer right from him to Fleury, and I think that's what the dugout wants to do.
Inside-out swing by Smelly, ball falling quickly into right field. It drops in front of Machandi. So another one-out single for the Cannonballers. This time it is Colby Smelly. That ends a streak of three straight retired since that one-out single from Camaletti last frame. Second hit of the ball game surrendered by Guilfoyle, and Ryan McCarthy steps on in. McCarthy, the Georgia native, awaits the first pitch. That misses low. One of Guilfoyle's struggles this year has been against left-handed batters coming into today. Lefty's written 280 against him, but strikeout to walk number still at a solid 2-1 ratio, 16 punchouts to 8 walks. Jammed on it, McCarthy, and he fists it towards his own dugout. One ball, one strike. McCarthy, a three-sport athlete in high school when he grew up in Georgia. He's a very good quarterback for Pinecrest Academy. Fastball catches the low outside corner, 1-2. Led his team, the Paladins, to the second round of the Georgia State Tournament. And took that starting job as a quarterback as a freshman. That's tough to do. He was a gifted athlete. Now he's found a sticking point in baseball, but he swings and misses there, and Guilfoyle has his seventh strikeout. Two down.
Yeah, the scouting business really has changed around baseball coming out of the pandemic when you had that condensing to the minors with the creation of the Prospect League and other college circuits and semi-pro circuits that allow scouts to get out and watch guys. It seems like there's just more ways for players to continue their careers beyond college now at this point with the structure of pro baseball.
Sweeper down and away to Logan Glass. That's strikeout the seventh for Guilfoyle. That matches a season high, which he got, coincidentally enough, against the Cannonballers back on May 11th, right here in this ballpark. Trying to set a new season high as he jams Glass with a breaking ball in. That pitch count now at 68. So this could very well be his final inning. Don't know if the Woodpeckers would send him back out north of 70. There's a right-hander starting to toss in the bullpen.
That's Austin Temple out there.
Smelly leads off first, and the high breaking ball is chased after by Glass. Three runs on four hits for the Woodpeckers so far. No errors. No runs on two hits. No errors for Kannapolis. Guilfoyle delivers. Fastball just a bit low below the knees. It's 2-2. Kannapolis has been one of the hottest teams in the Carolina League really since the start of June. They've continued that this week so far against Fayetteville. The 2-2. curveball yanked down the left field line into the netting, foul. They sit at 4-1 in the second half, tied with Columbia Fireflies. Last team that the Woodpeckers played here at Segra Stadium, and last time that they will see Columbia in 2023, barring a postseason meeting, which at this point is impossible with Myrtle Beach taking the first half title in the South. 2-2, sprayed foul again. Pelicans one game back. If Myrtle Beach were to win that second half title, it would go to the season-long standings, full season for who gets the second playoff spot. And right now, Kannapolis and Columbia are tied as far as full season records go. Swing and a miss. And there's number 8 for Guilfoyle. He sets a new season high. That might be it for him, but what an outing it was. 4 scoreless innings. And he takes that 3-0 lead for Fayetteville into the bottom of the 4th inning. John Garcia, Leo's Danny Molina, Jackson Lofton due up. And we come back here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Let's take it down to Double Play Doug with our racers.
Thank you, sir. It's time for the barrel race. It's sisters. It's Addie versus Emma. They've already named their horses, by the way. This is Spirit, and this is Sparkle Shot. Girls, are you ready? You got to weave through the barrels and then run straight back to me. 3, 2, 1, go! Oh, Addie's off to a blazing start. It looks like it's going to be. It's the younger sister. Even though she's taller, she's younger. Folks, your winner is Addie. Come here, sweetheart. Both you ladies, look into that camera right there and give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers!
That's right.
Kicked it in 4 wheels, shut off the lights and tore through a cornfield. What was I thinking? Out the other side, she was hollering faster. Took the dirt road. Had the radio blasting, hit the honky-tonk for a little close dancing. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay. But that crossed my mind a little too late. Cause I was thinking about a little white checkout sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man. Just gotta get going where the night might be. I know what I was feeling.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Peyton Pallett. Leading off the bottom of the 4th inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 20, John Garcia.
Catcher John Garcia steps in and is greeted by a fastball from Peyton Pallett to begin the bottom of the 4th inning. A called strike 1. Garcia had a check swing that went right back to Paulette in his first at bat in the first inning. Count now 1-1. Woodpeckers trying to get their first win of the week. And Garcia is hit by a pitch. You've heard that one before. The team leader in HBP's. Head down to first, and the Woodpeckers have a leadoff base runner for the first time since the first inning.
Yeah, he stood in there sturdy and took that HBP in the shoulder, and he really didn't even flinch, just tossed aside the bat. All right, this is business as usual now, and it was a curveball, so it's floated in there.
Number 16 on the year for Garcia.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Chopped foul by Leo's Danny Molina, 0-1. That's about 16 ice packs he's gone through down in the training office. He's a catcher, though. He's tough. And he takes a lead off of first base. Paulette with a long pause from the stretch. Pitch clock down to 2, and time is called by Molina. You don't see that as often nowadays. Back in the pre-pitch clock era, you'd see batters have to call time a lot when the pitcher would hold the ball on him, but there's not really much time to hold the ball anymore as Molina swings through the 0-1 fastball. Especially in those high-leverage situations late in ball games, try to throw the pitcher out of his rhythm. 0-2 pitch way outside, and having to get out of the crouch to reel it in is smelly. weren't many better at it than Mariano Rivera, who certainly liked to take his time delivering those all-important pitches. And to his credit, it worked throughout his career. Molina strikes out swinging. Number six for Paulette. And there's the first out of the bottom of the fourth. We'll bring up Jackson Lofton. It went pretty well out to left center field his first time up, but McCarthy ran it down just in front of the wall. Lofton now at 167 on the year, three long balls, 17 RBIs. First pitch breaking ball misses outside for Paulette. He's now up to 62 pitches on the outing. There is a right-hander starting to throw in the visitor's bullpen. And Lofton sends another one out to deep center field. McCarthy back again, still going back, and he makes the catch just in front of the fence once more. Deja vu all over again for Lofton. Back to first base goes Garcia, two down.
Well, you go back to the dugout, you're getting high fives each time, and you're putting a swing on a ball that you can go back to the dugout happy with. The matter of those starting to drop in. It feels like Lofton's had some unlucky spells like this a few times over the course of the season, and then the hits have ultimately come as a result. Just keep swinging it that way, and a couple are going to drop for you.
Sandro Gastón, ball one up and away. We've seen Lofton have those stretches where he's been one of the best hitters on the team. He ended up getting a couple of games up in Sugarland and made the most of those. As Gastón sends one high in the air, this will stay on the infield. Sanchez backing up, backpedaling, and makes the catch in shallow left center to end the bottom of the fourth. So John Garcia hit by a pitch, but Peyton Paulette retires three in a row. We are on to the fifth. 3-0 still the lead for Fayetteville on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Shirt toss.
When the lights come on, everybody's screaming, lighters in the sky, everybody's singing, every word to every song of the girl that's taking home tonight. When the lights come on, everybody's feeling a hallelujah high from the floor to the ceiling. Smoking, a party we throw, it's going all night long. When the lights come on, when the lights come on. You're a little shy thing with a wild side on a night like this. You just can't hide, cause it's time to live it up. So come on and raise your cup. If we talk about memories, yeah, we're gonna make up. Talk about rules, you know we're gonna break up. Come on, everybody's screaming, lighters in the sky, yeah, everybody's singing, every word to every song of the girl that's taking home tonight. When the lights come on, everybody's feeling a hallelujah high from the floor to the ceiling. Yeah, the drink that we're drinking, the smoke that we're smoking, the party we throw, it's going all night long.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 27, Jose Fleury.
Here's a little something to thank y'all for showing up. Al Dean and the boys are about to blow it up. When the lights come on, everybody's screaming, lighters in the sky, everybody's singing. Every word to every song of the girl that's taking home tonight. When the lights come on, everybody's feeling a hallelujah high from the porch.
Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Cannonballers, the right fielder.
Top of the fifth from Segra Stadium, four scoreless from Tyler Guilfoyle, but he gives way to the new right-hander for the Woodpeckers, Jose Fleury. And back on the play-by-play to tell you about him, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. Fleury, the right-hander from the DR, a top 30 Astros pitching prospect, delivers strike one to Logan. And here's his wind, kick, and delivery. A fastball, a check swing, and he went too far. That was a 91-mile-per-hour heater, just a little bit above the zone, but drew the check out of Logan, who struck out against Guilfoyle his first time up. Fleury working with the pace, fires, and misses up and outside. Fleury enters in with a 1-3 record and a 3.42 ERA. Tonight is 15th game for Fayetteville and 8th out of the bullpen. 55 and a third innings. He has 27 walks, 75 strikeouts, and spins a slider low and outside. The changeup is his primary off-speed pitch and graded as one of the best in the entire Astros farm system. Two balls and two strikes as he gets the side and delivers. And strikes him out swinging with the change. The cambio, if you will. And Jose Fleury picks up his first strikeout of the night, number 9 already for Fayetteville pitching after Tyler Guilfoyle struck out a season-high 8 tonight. Guilfoyle finishes with 4 innings of just 2-hit ball, no runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, dropped his season ERA to 2.62. And now the right-handed batter Javier Mora is in. And it's 0-1 on him. And he rips through a fastball quickly, 0-2, as Fleury is going right after these guys. And at the bottom of the baller's order, on deck, Mario Camilletti. Infield, outfield, straight up. Here comes the 0-2. And it's popped up, back behind home, and out of play.
I'm a big fan of this tandem here. They're a little bit similar, Guilfoyle and Fleury, where they have that really big off-speed pitch that they rely on. But for Guilfoyle, it's the sweeper. For Fleury, it's the cambio.
0-1, Morris swings, hits it off the end of the batter. Roller shallow to second. Fielded midway along the dirt by Lorenzo. And he throws short to first to get the out, number 2 of the fifth inning. And back up to the top of the Cannonballers order we go. Differing game times over the next 3 nights to take note of if you're planning on being out at Segra Stadium. 5:05 tomorrow night, our normal Saturday time. A daytime game on Sunday at 2:05, and then a 6:05 start on Monday, July 3rd. Big fireworks show to follow. Fireworks after tonight's game. 3-0 Fayetteville. All the scoring done in the bottom of the first. Mario Camilletti, the left-handed batter, up for a third time. Top bat in the Kannapolis lineup. And he took a strike on a changeup. Here's the wind in the 0-1. Camilletti swings and flies it out to right. Fairly deep for Machandi, but he was playing deep. Feet settled in front of the warning track. Makes the catch. Flips the ball up into Healy's bar for a souvenir. And completes a 1-2-3 inning for Jose Fleury out of the bullpen. 3-0. The Woodpeckers lead halfway home on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Make some noise to let us know where you're sitting.
Play it again. I was walking up the front porch steps after everything that day had gone all wrong and been trampled on and lost and thrown away. Got to the hallway, well on my way to my loving bed.
Fans, this Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 3, Manuel Verlon.
Welcome back to Segra Stadium. It's the bottom of the fifth inning. First pitch swing from Roylen Machandi to begin the inning. 3-0 Fayetteville. And a new right-hander has taken over in this fifth for Kannapolis as well. It is Manuel Veloz. A slider gets Machandi waving out in front. Three-run bottom of the first has held Fayetteville out in front all night. Manuel Veloz, the righty, pitches, and Machandi fouls it back. Final line for Peyton Paulette in his start tonight has him at four complete innings. He gave up all three of his runs earned in the first on four hits, no walks, which helped him out to throw three scoreless down the stretch, and then six strikeouts today as well. Veloz still ahead 0-2 pitches, and Machandi held the hands on a pitch that was down in the dirt. One ball and two strikes. Tyler Guilfoyle didn't go long enough today for a win, but Jose Fleury behind him went 1-2-3 in the top of the fifth out of the pen. The 1-2, Machandi swings and hits it high. Way out into left center field as Glass goes back, gets into the carve-out, and it's off the top of the high wall. This ricochets all the way back towards center. Machandi gets to third. He's flying home. Here comes the cutoff throw to the plate. He dives in, and he is saved. He's saved. Snelly missed the tag. An inside the park home run for Royland Machandi as he hustles all the way around and dives headlong in for the inside the parker. Patrick Leland, the Kannapolis skipper, is hustled out to argue the call. Brandon Schmidt behind the plate has given him the explanation. Smelly missed the tag and this game's 4-0. Wow, what a play.
What a slide from Machandi. I mean, he was dead to rights. The throw beat him by a couple of steps, and he just snuck past the tag of Smelly. Missed a home run by a couple inches. He said, you know what? I'll get it anyways. He didn't slow down at all. He got the wave around from his manager, and that set this place into bedlam.
You want to see almost 5,000 people lose their mind. Give him a hustle inside the park home run. What a sequence. One of the most high-energy plays we've seen inside of this ballpark all year long. Zach Cole is now into the left side. And here comes the wind kick and the pitch from Veloz. And a soft liner out to center. Shallow for the left fielder sprinting in Glass. And that'll drop down in front of him. Cole is aboard after the inside the park home run that'll officially go down his home run number two of Royland Machandi's season, but the first inside the parker all year for Fayetteville.
I said earlier in the broadcast, the speed can be a difference maker. How's that for a difference maker?
So Cole at first, and Encarnacion pushes one through the right side out into right field. Cole hustles down to second, and now Logan bobbled the ball. He quickly picks it up, but Cole will hold it second. And three straight base hits in the fifth have the Woodpeckers in business once again. They started the first with three straight knocks, scored three runs, and they have greeted Manuel Veloz to this game awful rudely.
We've seen really production a lot from the top three, of course, in this ball game. Now multiple hits for both Cole and Encarnacion. Dari Lorenzo with the big home run, and then on the other side at the bottom of the order, you've got Sandro Gastone with a base hit. And then Royland Machandi with the big inside the park home run. This will prompt a mound visit here for Kannapolis, try to reel things in. Huge moment at this point in the ball game. We saw in the first couple of games with Fayetteville not being able to keep it close and then, you know, got too far away where they could mount a comeback. Script's been flipped a little bit here. Now it's the Woodpeckers with a chance to run away with this ball game from Kannapolis.
Meeting on the mound with the Cannonballers pitching coach. First time we've seen Blake Hickman head out to the mound today. Cole Infield comes into conference for this one with nobody out, first and second. Now a 4-0 Fayetteville lead, but the Woodpeckers really trying to break it open after the inside the park home run started the inning. Here's a guy that's left the park with a home run, Dari Lorenzo, batting from the left side, and the first pitch to him, down and in. Ball one on the slider, and it is 1-0. Veloz has had a lot of run support behind him this year, which has led to a career-high 7 winning decisions. 7-1 record of 4.19 ERA. Here's his pitch, and Lorenzo pops it up over the netting on the left side of the plate and onto the concourse. So the count 1-0 on Lorenzo. His two-run home run in the bottom of the first inning was his first home run in this ballpark. but his second against the Cannonballers. They've both come against the South Division Cannonballers. Here's the 1-1. Double steal. Throw goes down to third. The tag slapped on Cole, and Willett's got it down. Zach Cole was a little late getting in there as he's thrown out. Luis Encarnacion trails on the play. He gets to second. One out. And it just looked like a late break for both the base runners as the pitch came home from Veloz.
Not only that, is the lost start of the old pitch out there. Colby mm-hmm. Smelly came out of the crouch early, picked it up, and fired it down to third base.
Here's a bouncer, right side of the infield, couple of skips for Mora. He throws to Veloz, hustling over from the mound and gets the out on a 4-1 put out. Meanwhile, other end of the diamond, Luis Encarnacion strolls to third. Dario Lorenzo will go to 1-for-3 on the night, and it brings up the left-handed hitting cleanup hitter in Garrett McGowan. Woodpeckers got a run to open the inning on the inside the park home run. They'd like to get a second after two on, nobody out. Double steal and the caught stealing put a little bit more momentum behind Veloz, and Garrett McGowan attacks the first pitch, punches it foul into the net above the third base on deck circle. Two balls and one strike. Veloz, the 22-year-old, originally from San Carlos in Venezuela. Run into trouble behind the starter, Paulette. A series-high 4-run lead for Fayetteville as McGowan checks his swing on a high pitch, and he went too far. No need for an appeal. It was called by Brandon Schmidt behind the plate, and it's 0-2. McGowan will have to protect. 0-for-2 tonight with a strikeout and a tap out to the catcher. Nothing and two on McGowan. Here's the pitch, and he strikes out swinging. High fastball got him. The inning comes to a close, so Veloz avoids the major inning, but what a way to start it. High energy plays. Machandi puts it off the high wall in left center and circles all the way around the bases for an inside the park home run that gives the Woodpeckers a 4-0 lead after five innings tonight in Fayetteville.
Thank you, sir. It's a family affair again tonight. It's brother versus sister once again. A little bit older. They're pretty well oiled. They've been in Heelys for a while. This is Heather. This is Nick. They're going to toss these bean bags into our cornholes, but in the cornhole is a boot. All right? You guys ready? All right. Pick up your bags. On your mark. Get set. Heather, where are you going? You're tossing that way.
Got a good
toss,
job.
Go!
I work hard for my money.
All right, we're close.
Time, I hit the door.
Come on, Nick. Oh, Heather's at two. Heather's got two. Nick's got two left. And Nick's got one. Can Nick tie it up? No, Heather! Heather wins. Congratulations, young lady. Come here, both y'all. Look in that camera right there. Give you a big go, Pecker.
Go, Pecker!
That's right.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Jose Fleury.
Wilbur Sanchez leads off the top of the sixth inning for Kannapolis. Fayetteville on top 4-0. And a first pitch curveball is called strike on the inside from Jose Fleury. And it's nothing and one on Sanchez. Bryce Willett's the lefty on deck, and then Jonniker Betancourt, 2-3-4 for Fleury. And he has that extra run of support after an inside-the-park home run from Roylen Machandi. Jumped the game to 4-0. Fleury peering over that black mitt, shaking off a sign from Garcia. Winds, kicks, and pitches. The 1-1. Sanchez swings late on a 91-mile-per-hour fastball. 1-2 on Wilbur Sanchez, who has walked and struck out today. Fleury came on in the fifth behind Tyler Guilfoyle, who struck out eight over four innings in his start. And he retired the baller's side in order. Fleury gets the sign, kicks and pitches. 1-2, pulled on a line over third and out into left field. Rolling up along the line, Luis Encarnacion with a long run. He scoops, fires onto the shortstop, and Wilbur Sanchez hustles his way into second with a leadoff double. Just the third Kannapolis hit tonight and the first that goes for extra bases. And the Cannonballers in a good spot here. Man in scoring position, nobody out to try and cut into the four-run deficit. With the heart of their order coming up, Bryce Willett's one of their RBI leaders, digging in. Willett's has gone 0 for 2, a backwards K and a pop out to third. Here's the kick and pitch out of the stretch from Fleury. A slider dives low for a ball, one ball, no strikes. No runs, three hits, no errors for Kannapolis. Now four runs, seven hits, no errors for Fayetteville. The line scores tonight. Kannapolis has taken two in a row here on the road. Fayetteville trying to climb back in the series in front of a big crowd here on this Friday evening. Couple of looks to second. Fleury's 1-0 home is a breaking ball that bottoms out, falls into the zone, and it's 1-1. Willett's a 255 batter on the year with his 28 RBIs. Also scored 29 runs as Sanchez shortens his lead off of second. The pitch rides in on Willett's. Kind of a getaway fastball from Fleury. And it's a 1-1 count. Kannapolis did not score until the seventh inning yesterday. That's when they really ran away with the game. And again tonight, they're struggling to find a run first couple of times through the order. 2-1 pitch is a ball just outside. Close changeup from Fleury. 3-1. Willett's with the high Red Sox, and he wears a white guard, ankle guard on his right leg, his outside leg. Fleury peering over that left shoulder, checks second base, goes to the chest and down to the belt. Left leg kick and the 3-1 in on the hands, rolled softly towards second. Lorenzo scooping with one hand as he charges towards the grass and flips across his body over to first to get the out. Wilbur Sanchez makes it down to third and almost works as a sack bunt for Willits as he gets the first possible Kannapolis run 90 feet away. One gone in the sixth, and Jonniker Betancourt, the cleanup man, stepping in. First time he'll square off against Jose Fleury. Went 0-2 with a couple of strikeouts against Guilfoyle. Fayetteville pitching has gotten the better of him tonight, and a first pitch slider missed a little high and away. The count is 1-0. Jonniker Betancourt, one of the healthy catchers on the roster, originally from Turmero, Venezuela. 1-0 is a strike on the high outside corner as Fleury went to the fastball. Wind starting to pick up a little bit, blowing out towards left center field where the Woodpeckers have put a couple of baseballs tonight. 2-0 as Fleury goes down to the belt, takes a long pause, kicks and fires, and just missed up and outside. Not by much. He went right back to the fastball, and the count runs to 3-1 on Betancourt. Leadoff double has Sanchez down at third base. In a 4-0 game, Fayetteville leading. Here's the 3-1. And Betancourt takes a strike on the down inside corner. Good changeup by Fleury. Tonight, the fifth game for Jose Fleury in June, his third relief appearance. Coming into today's game, no record and a 3.52 ERA during June. 3-2 payoff pitch on the way from Fleury. And Betancourt fouls it away right behind home. On the road in Charleston last week, Fleury came into a game that the Woodpeckers trailed big. The result was out of reach. But Fleury was a bright spot out of the bullpen. He came on in a short spot, two scoreless innings, gave up just one hit and a walk and struck out five. Tonight they'll stretch him out a little further, and he's pretty well rested. 3-2. And it's popped up again, right side, and this will sail over the netting and out of play. And he didn't pitch in any other games during that Charleston series. So over the course of a full week, Fleury pitched just two innings, and he's in a spot today where they may be even willing to stretch him beyond the 75-pitch cap that usually is tagged to him. 3-2, and here's another payoff. Fleury sails it high, and that was ball three, I suppose. It was a 2-2 count. Video board had it at 3-2, so now it is full on Betancourt. Man at third, Sanchez, as Fleury tries to avoid giving up the first Kanapolis run of the night. One out in the inning. Here's the pitch, payoff, and Betancourt knuckles it foul. What a battle as he really works a deep count against Jose Fleury.
Sky is really starting to darken over downtown Fayetteville.
Yep, looks a little ugly out there. There is a little band of rain cells that's hanging around the area, and hopefully we can do a rain dance or something and keep it out of here. 3-2 pitch, grounded out to short. This will bring home a run. It's fielded by Leo Stanley Molina, steps and throws to first in time to get Betancourt. An RBI ground out that gets Kanapolis on the board. This ball game back to a three-run Fayetteville advantage. It is 4-1 Woodpeckers. Wilbur Sanchez crosses. Two outs, bases empty now with Colby Smelly scheduled to bat.
Nothing to panic about if you're Jose Fleury on the mound there. Tip your cap to Sanchez with a hustle double down the left field line and get two outs right after. Sure, the run scores, but still got that three-run advantage. The way the offense has looked, you got to trust your guys in the dugout to keep swinging the bats the way they have.
First pitch very high up above the helmet level of Colby Smelly. And there might have been a cross-up. John Garcia is heading out to the mound to talk to Fleury here. Gives us our first chance to peek around the Carolina League scoreboard tonight. We've got a blowout in Lynchburg, Virginia. 13-0 Hillcats over the Shorebirds through eight innings. Lynchburg getting ready to go to a game back of 500 in the overall standings at 35-36. Down East is shutting out Carolina tonight 5-0. Woodpeckers will see the Mudcats next week for six before the All-Star break. Fredericksburg holding Salem scoreless 3-0. Charleston over Myrtle Beach currently in the bottom of the fifth. That series being played out in Myrtle, 5-2 River Dogs. The Green Jackets blowing out the Fireflies 8-0, and we're 4-1 here now after the RBI groundout. So multiple shutouts being worked in the league tonight, and one just broken up by Kanapolis here in Fayetteville. Five of the six games before that run scored featured a shutout bid going. Two balls and no strikes on Colby Smelly as Fleury pitches and missed a little bit high. All fastball right now from Fleury as he tries to work himself back in the count. Leadoff double and an RBI brought home the run. 4-1 Fayetteville, and here comes Fleury's kick and 3-0. Centers up a strike. Right back to the fastball to get it to 3-1. Smelly tonight is accounted for one of the three Kanapolis hits, a single against Tyler Guilfoyle in the fourth, but he was left on base. The wind in the 3-1. Smelly got under it. High pop fly out into shallow left. Leo Molina hustling over, drifting along the fair side of the left field line, and he makes the grab to end the inning and get us to the bottom of the sixth. Jose Fleury threw a couple out of the pen. He gives up the run on the RBI ground out, and it's 4-1 Woodpeckers. Home sixth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Gunnery Sergeant James Wellman. Gunnery Sergeant James Wellman is originally from Santa Rosa, California, and has been stationed at Fort Liberty for the past 3 years with his wife, Nicheline Wellman, and his three children, Fiona, Violet, and Sean Cornelius Wellman. During his time on station, he deployed three times and has worked as an Arabic linguist and a senior enlisted advisor. He will soon be heading to Hawaii, where he'll be stationed at 3rd Radio Battalion. Fans, let's hear it for Gunnery Sergeant Wellman. Thank you for your service.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Manuel Velasquez. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 20, John Garcia.
Friday night baseball in downtown Fayetteville. We're in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Woodpeckers carry a 4-1 lead over Kannapolis. John Garcia leads it off against Manuel Veloz and takes a strike at his 0-1. Garcia ready, and he knuckles the liner out into center, and that'll drop in. Leadoff base hit. John Garcia with his first knock of the night. Eighth base hit tonight for Fayetteville. Everybody trying to get involved in the offense, and that is the third straight inning where the Woodpeckers have been able to put the leadoff man aboard. Brings up Leo's Danny Molina. Fayetteville's game-high lead was 4-0 until an RBI ground out from Kannapolis in the top of the sixth brought home their first run. Molina stepping forward and taking a strike. A little bit of a awkward sequence there as he almost stepped forward out of the box as the pitch came home. Looked like he had any intention to swing. 0-1 is Veloz, who pitched the fifth, tries to get his first out of the sixth. Middle infield double play depth. And Molina grounds it past the mound to second. Mora fields, underhands to second for one. Sanchez the turn to first, and not in time. Leo Molina able to hustle it out. But a fielder's choice forces out Garcia at second base. And there is one gone for Jackson Lofton. He's clubbed the ball well twice tonight. See if he can get something to drop in here a third time up.
Yeah, even some of the outs have been pretty loud for the Woodpeckers, and maybe a little bit of pent-up frustration with how the last couple of games have gone offensively and the lineup just taking their anger out on the baseball.
First pitch to Lofton. Called a strike on the high outside corner. In between the two fly balls from Jackson Lofton and that Machandi drive out into left center that resulted in a inside the park home run, Fayetteville is not too far off of four long balls tonight. The 0-1, and it's up and outside. Broken up their home run drought in a big way, wouldn't you say? Seven straight games without a home run entering tonight. And they get one over the wall from Lorenzo and an inside the parker first of the year from Machandi. Leo Stanley Molina leading off of first. The 1-1 to Lofton is grounded left side. Picked at third by Willits on the two-skip. Throw to second for one. The turn to first and not in time. So again, a fielder's choice where the Woodpeckers base runner going up the first baseline, able to break it up.
We'll have to go back and see just how long it's been since inside the park home run. I know it wasn't one last year, but back to your first year here in Fayetteville in 2021. Do you remember any?
Trying to rack my brain. I don't know if there has been one. Called strike on the inside. I certainly remember a play last year where Tyler Whitaker was trying for an inside the park home run. And he was called out at the plate on a very close throw. Joe Thon was ejected from the game. Runner going to second. Gastone swings and flies it out into center field. This should be routine for McCarthy. Hustling forward, making the catch. And the inning comes to a close. And maybe just in time. The rain is starting to come down here at Segra Stadium, and a number of the fans packing the seats tonight are starting to head towards the overhangs. And we will keep an eye on the radar as Jose Fleury struts back out to the mound to play the top of the seventh. 4-1 the score. Woodpeckers leading in Fayetteville.
The Fayetteville off Highway 24 in East Fayetteville.
I swear this will be my last call. I ain't drunk dialing no more at 3 a.m. Mr. Bartender hit me again. Don't want to think about her. I wear a ring without her. Don't want to hit the karaoke bar. Can't sing without her. So make them drink strong. Cause brother C's gone. And if I'm ever gonna move on.
See the world through whiskey glass.
back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up. 'Cause if she ain't ever coming back, light 'em up, light 'em up, light 'em up, light 'em up, knock 'em back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up. 'Cause if she ain't ever coming back, I'ma need some whiskey glasses.
Is a proud partner of Minor League Baseball.
When life throws you a curveball, Nationwide's protection knocks it out of the park. They really go to bat for you.
Those puns are a swing and a miss.
Kind of like them.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back inside Bally Live, MILB.TV, and FanduelWoodpeckers.com. If you're watching the video feed tonight, you can see that the players have been pulled off of the field, and the tarp is unfortunately being rolled out here as we got ready to begin the top of the seventh inning. 4-1, the Woodpeckers are leading, but unfortunately we got a little band of rain that is coming our way and going to drop a good amount of rain in the downtown Fayetteville area over the next half hour or so. Managers came together, the umpiring crew as well, and they didn't even want to start the inning with the way the radar looks. So we are entering a rain delay towards the final third of this ball game. We have already played an official game, but I assume they will at least try and wait this out. Doesn't look like it's going to be too extensive tonight, but we'll see as the weather report develops on whether we'll be able to continue playing ball tonight. Fayetteville scored three in the first and then one on a Roylen Machandy inside the park home run in the sixth. They're trying to win their first game of this series in front of a big Friday night crowd who right now are out of the seats and headed towards the overhangs to try and grab a little bit of cover. Also a little bit of lightning in the area as well, which we will try to track as the night goes on. In the meantime, while we enter this rain delay, we will let you listen in on the broadcast of the Asheville Tourists, who are out at McCormick Field tonight in Asheville, hosting the Greenville Drive, the Boston Red Sox affiliate. They're in the top of the eighth inning. In a 4-0 game, and former Woodpecker Valente Bayozo on the mound. Again, we are in a rain delay here in downtown Fayetteville. When we do resume in the top of the seventh, may or may not be Jose Fleury on the mound, and Ryan McCarthy, Logan Glass, Drake Logan are the three Cannonballers scheduled to bat. Rain delay in Fayetteville. In the meantime, we'll let you listen in to the Asheville Tourist Broadcast Network. Stay tuned to Woodpecker social media for any updates regarding the resumption of our Friday night ball game. And thanks again for being with us tonight, everybody, on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Let's send you out to Asheville for the drive and the tourists in the top of the eighth.
You know who the number 21 prospect is in the Red Sox organization? I give you a hint. Used to play for the tourists. Willier Abreu. 1-2 pitch is crushed into center field by Miller. No way this ballpark's holding it. Three-run homer off of Bayoso, and the drive busted the game open. It's now 7-0. Now, Valente Bayoso, this inning right here, unfortunately, is kind of how this year has gone for him. He is a pitch or two away from a 1-2-3 inning. But instead, he can't get Bonacy. Gets ahead of him, 1-2, ends up walking him. He can't get Gonzalez on some weak contact. And then he can't get Miller as he gets ahead of him. Bunch of pitches fouled off, and then Miller hits the three-run homer. So he's close. But being close doesn't get the job done, and it ends up backfiring. And that's why Bayoso right there, and that's why he has an ERA that's right around 8 in 53 innings. He's a good pitcher. He has a lot of stuff, can strike guys out, but you know, he's given up three runs now in two and a third. That's not going to bring the ERA down on one pitch in for a strike. And it seems like something like like what we just saw happens in almost every game, and it just that's it. I mean, it kills the tourist chances to win a ball game. Yesterday, it was Edinson Batista in the second inning when he gave up that two-out rally that scored three runs. Paulino rips a 2-2 pitch into the right field corner. Robleski throws to second base and ends up airmailing Sacco. Borden there to back it up. It'll be a double for Lopez. On Wednesday, it was Brian DePaula who came in and gave up seven runs in a third of an inning. It's like you just can't do that stuff if you want to win a game. Now, in Bayoso's defense, it's not like the tourists have done anything offensively to show they can win this game. But tell you what, 4-0 looks a lot more manageable than 7-0. And here comes Sean Buchanan, Asheville's pitching coach. As Bayoso has given up four consecutive base runners. Alex Arrow, 0-for-2 with the walk. He has done an excellent job behind the plate tonight. He's catching a shutout. Asheville's been shut out twice this year. Once at home, once on the road. But, you know, it's, and I hate to hammer this home, but it's just another rally that really started all because Bayoso issued a walk. And they just kill you in this ballpark. First pitch curve in for strike one. Asheville walked eight batters yesterday. They walked six on Wednesday. They've walked five here tonight. 0-1 pitch is lined foul down the left field side by Arrow. And it's 0-2. And Bayoso does not walk many batters. We've seen all three of Asheville's pitchers here today have to wear some damage because they issued a walk. DeVos, Van Wy, and now Bayoso. Happened to Daylen Miley yesterday in the fourth inning. Miley came in. He issued back-to-back leadoff walks and ended up surrendering two runs in the inning. Really marred what was a good outing for Miley. 0-2 pitch, ground ball. Hit right at the shortstop. Sacco up with it. For some reason, he tries to throw to third, and he throws the ball away. Popping up is Lopez from third. He will score. Arrow goes to second. And it's 8-0. Third error of the ball game on the tourists. Now, theoretically, it's the right play by Sacco. If you got a guy at second trying to go to third on a ground ball hit to the shortstop, he should be able to throw him out. But in a 7-0 ball game, you go ahead and take the out at first. Let the guy go to third, and there should be two away. Second error on Sacco. No RBI for Arrow. It'll be a fielder's choice. Arrow at second. Decker the batter. And Decker takes ball one. Pitch foul back to the bricks. Activity now up in the Asheville bullpen. One, one. Swing and a miss by Decker. 1-2. Decker got off to a really good start in this series, but 0 for 3 today. 1-2 pitch fouled off. You know, you have to give Greenville a lot of credit, and I credit their pitching coach, Bob Kipper. In the bottom of the seventh inning, this stadium, this crowd was starting to get into the ball game. And I know the tourists didn't score. I think that mound visit by Bob Kipper had a lot to do with it. And the drive players have completely shut this stadium up here with four runs in the top of the eighth. So that's the sound you want to hear when you're the road team. We saw Hickory come in here and sweep the tourists five straight games. Greenville poised to take the first three of this series. Decker did swing and miss. Strikeout. And two down for Jonathan Diaz. And Diaz fouls it away left side. And, you know, I don't want to hammer this home too much, but that last play by Sacco, the ground ball by Arrow, that's why you throw the ball to first there with one out already in the inning. The guy goes to third, and there are two outs. It's okay. They also strikes out Decker, and you're in the dugout. But, you know, I get it at the same time. Guy wants to go from second to third, and a ball hit to you as the shortstop. You want to let him know that that's not okay. And to be honest, it was going to be an out if it wasn't a bad throw. 1-1 pitch in for a strike, count now 1-2. Feels like Bayoso has thrown 40 pitches in this inning. Curveball down. And everything, just a grind here for Valente Bayoso. See these opposing pitchers throw 8, 9, 10 pitch innings, and then the tourist pitchers come out and they have to throw 30, 40 pitches just to get three outs. It's a weak ground ball hit to second, and it is the third out. Espinosa picks it up, throws to first, and the inning is over, but the drive score four runs, a three-run homer by Tyler Miller, and another run crosses the plate. We go to the bottom of the eighth, and the drive lead it 8-0.
For Ingles, supporting our hometown is who we are, from local farmers and businesses to your local teams and local charities. So look for us around home plate or find us where plates need filling. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Baseball fans, introducing Valley Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Valley Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience filled with family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 21st through the 24th for the induction of Fred McGriff and Scott Rolman as the class of 2023. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Know the difference between a bank and a credit union? Credit unions are member-owned. At Telco Community Credit Union, we serve our members, not the stakeholders, and pass the savings to you. That means competitive rates and lower fees and charges. Telco has been in Western North Carolina since 1935. Telco, where members matter.
Tommy Sacco going to lead off for the tourists here in the eighth inning. Asheville down 8-0 on the Blue Ridge Power scoreboard. It'll be Sacco, Espinosa, and Melton. Casey Cobb, an inning and a third under his belt. Tommy doubled and stole a base in the third inning. And first pitch is high for ball one. Well, I like the effort we saw from Sacco in that top of the eighth inning. Made a nice leaping grab for the first out. A diving attempt at a ball by Brian, hit by Brian Gonzalez back up the middle. and an athletic type flip. Nice pitch was outside. Count 1-1. And Alex Arrow is going to make a mound visit here. See if the Torres can snap this consecutive scoreless inning drought. He's now at 15 consecutive innings. It's a 2-1 pitch outside to Sacco. 3 balls and a strike. Full moon out tonight. High above the mountain. Beyond the center field wall. Really illuminating. Sacco hits ball up towards the moon, but didn't quite have the distance. It's going to be caught by the shortstop, Paulino, in shallow left center. Mile high fly ball. One away for Espinosa. Just 2 hits tonight for Asheville. The double by Sacco in the third. Single by Robleski in the seventh. Both leadoff hits. Espinosa takes a curve outside. Now the 1-0 pitch. This is high. Balls, no strikes. Torres will head to Bowling Green next week. Take on the Hot Rods for 6 games. 2-0 fastball swung on and missed by Espinosa. That series starts on July 4th. It's Tuesday. Greenville, they head home next week. They'll be home on the 4th hosting the Rome Braves for a 6-game series. 2-1 slider is high. It's 3-1 to Espinosa. After that, Asheville returns home for a 3-game series, but it comes after the All-Star break, 4-day break. Three-one pitch. It's high to Espinosa. So Rolando works a 1-out walk. And during that break, see a couple of Sally League players take place, or former Sally League players take place in the Futures game. Drew Gilbert, who began the year with the Tourists, take place in the Futures game. Gilbert was promoted up to Double A in May. Melton, first pitch is outside for ball one. And here comes Bob Kipper again. Now Kipper, longtime pitching coach. He was able to really settle down Casey Cobb last inning. Jacob Melton is not the guy you want to be trying to find the strike zone against. You need to have your command. With Melton, you leave one over the plate. Jacob can hit it a long way. Drive 8, Torres nothing. We're in the bottom of the 8th inning. A lot of people ask me today, 1-0 pitches in for a strike, when's the last time the Torres have lost 8 in a row? And if this score does not change, it will go to 9 in a row. And I said, you know, I don't know. And to be honest, I don't really want to look it up. Some ball swung on, fouled off the catcher, Arrow. Count 1-2. I don't really like talking about negative things. I do it because I'm going to be honest on the air. When something bad happens, I'm not going to pretend it didn't happen. And the Tours have lost 8 in a row. It's happened. I'm going to mention it. It's 1-2 pitches up and in, but I don't like it. I would much rather talk about positive things. I like this guy at the plate, Jacob Melton, and how he's tied for second in the league in home runs. And he's stolen 27 bases this year. 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Cobb gets him. And now there are two away for Logan Cerny. First pitch to Cerny. Sprayed foul down the right side. Logan is 0-for-3. Struck out 3 times. Cerny playing in his 56th game with Torres. Been here since opening day, and he swings the 0-1. It's a 2-hopper to short. Loving is Paulino, throws to first, and Casey Cobb. 2 1/3 shutout out of the Greenville bullpen. And once again, the magic words from Bob Kipper. Get Casey Cobb to execute. And the scoreless inning streak is now at 16 straight innings for the Asheville offense. 8-0 drive lead it. We go to the top of the ninth inning.
At Mellow Mushroom in Asheville, we know what you're craving. Pizza and beer. Our Mellow menu contains an assorted collection of munchies, salads, pizzas, calzones, and hoagies. When you need to quench your thirst, you'll be amazed at the depth of our beer selection, including unique local brews. We remain dedicated to making each visit just as great as your last one. Visit Mellow Mushroom in downtown Asheville or give us a call at 236-9800.
Are you looking to stay in Asheville and still searching for hotel options? Vertel Hospitality has you covered. With 5 newly renovated hotels in Asheville to choose from, including the all-new Element by Westin in downtown. They'll help you make the most out of your next stay. Vertel Hospitality has options downtown, on the east and west sides of town, and at the Asheville outlets. For more information, please visit Vertel.com. That's VIRTELLE.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Chosen as best in state bank by Forbes since 2019, First Bank has everything you need to help your business grow. Lending options, knowledgeable advice, checking accounts, and secure digital tools. And a local team that actually cares about your success. Hi, this is Rusty Edwards, Regional Executive at your local First Bank branch in downtown Asheville. Here, you're more than a number, you're a priority. Let's work together. Stop by 11 Church Street or visit another of our 15 Western North Carolina locations. You can also go to localfirstbank.com/business, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
New pitcher in the ballgame for the Tourists. It is right-hander Carlos Calderon. And Calderon already some drama before he throws a pitch. Something was wrong with his glove, so he has to get a new glove from the dugout. He'll face Carson Semus to lead things off. And Semus, first pitch swinging. It's a one hopper to third. Borden playing shallow. Gloves it right down there by his foot. Throws to first base since Seamus is retired. Paulino. Paulino, one for three today. He's walked and singled. And he takes strike one from Carlos Calderon. Calderon, 2-3 record on the year. ERA is at 9.59. Struggle for Carlos. Last outing, he gave up a two-run homer in an inning of work. 25 and a third innings pitch, 36 hits allowed, 17 walks, 21 strikeouts. Opposing hitters batting 340 off the right-hander. As Paulino, it's a fly ball into right field. He's going to bang off the wall. Paulino headed for second base, hustling the whole way, and he dives in head first with a one-out double. Drive starting to pile up the hits. Starting pitcher Nolan DeVos did a really good job limiting to Greenville to just two runs on two hits through four and a third. But the bullpen tonight for the Tourists has not been very effective. Van Wy gave up two runs. Bayoso gave up four runs. Now Calderon gives up a one-out double here in the ninth inning facing Briner Bonacy. If you were not with us earlier in the broadcast, Briner Bonacy hit, from our research, the second longest home run by a professional baseball player in 2023. Joe Adele of the Salt Lake Bees in AAA hit a 514-foot home run earlier this year. Briner Bonacy, his home run in the fifth inning tonight, 491 feet, and is longer than any major league home run this season. Current long is Giancarlo Stanton's 485-foot homer back in April. Bonacy has worked a two-ball, one-strike count. Now the 2-1, Bonacy shoots a base hit through the right side. Rounding third and heading to the plate is Paulino. The throw from Robleski is right on the money. Price puts the tag down, and now this near sellout crowd gets to cheer about something. Ryan Robleski, who has an absolute cannon in the outfield, throws out Edson Paulino. Trying to score from second on a base hit by Bonacy. Two away for Brian Gonzalez. Carlos Calderon, a little tip of the cap to the outfielder Robleski. First pitch to Gonzalez, slider cut on and missed. Carlos with the 0-1. Just inside, 1-1. Eight runs on 10 hits and no errors for Greenville. No runs, two hits, three errors for Asheville. Never good when the errors outnumber the hits and runs combined. It's a line drive hit foul up the third base line by Brian Gonzalez, and that was not fouled by much. Nearly extra bases. Calderon looking a little bit like the Calderon from the beginning of the season when he was getting blasted. And he did have some success. And that's why right there, that last pitch, 96. Fastball on the inside corner, strikes out Gonzalez. So Calderon, you know he's got it in him. Got a little help from Robleski, and it's a scoreless frame. We go to the bottom of the ninth inning. Drive. Lead the Tourists 8-0.
For Ingles, supporting our hometown is who we are. From local farmers and businesses to your local teams and local charities. That's what makes us different from other grocery stores and why shopping at Ingles does so much more than fill your pantry. And it all happens because of our customers, our neighbors, and our communities. So look for us around home plate or find us where plates need filling. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Weather can do a number on your roof. Wind, water, and hail damage can put you in a major bind. Not to worry. Red Wolf Contracting is the professional service you want. Red Wolf is knowledgeable, does top quality work, and highly recommended. Whether it's residential or commercial, Red Wolf is licensed and insured and ready to help you with a new or replacement roof. Take your roof seriously. Call Red Wolf Contracting Service at 772-9778. Red Wolf, the roofing professionals.
It's the bottom of the ninth inning. Time to make that call to the bullpen. You can go righty, you can go lefty, or you can go all-wheel drive in a newer certified pre-owned Subaru from Prestige. Touch all the bases in an Outback, Forester, Legacy, or all-new redesigned Impreza. With Subaru being the only manufacturer with IIHS top safety picks for all models, you'll slide into home
safe.
Check out our lineup at 585 Tunnel Road or online at PrestigeSubaru.com. Take me out to the ballgame in a Subaru.
Bottom of the ninth inning, new pitcher on for Greenville. It is right-hander Aaron Perry. This is Perry's ninth appearance with the drive. He has struggled for the most part. Very good strikeout numbers, 12 of them in 6 2/3. But Perry's given up 13 hits and 5 walks. ERA at 17.5. But it's small sample size. Either way, Perry's looking for a good outing. 5'11", right-hander from Hurricane, West Virginia. It's a 14th round pick last year by the Red Sox. And Perry will face the heart of this Asheville order, Clifford, Borden, and Robleski. Clifford 0-2, he's worked a walk. And the first pitch, he swings and hits a ball pretty well into left field. Gonzalez will have to retreat, but it carries over his head. This ball bounces on the warning track, one hops the wall. And Ryan Clifford has the third Tourist hit of the game. It's a leadoff double here in the ninth. Borden will bat from the right side. Tim is 0-3 today. Has a 6-game hit streak and an 8-game reach base streak. He would like to extend both of those with a base hit here. And if Tim does find a base hit, it could snap this scoring drought, which is currently at 16 consecutive innings. Aaron Perry with the first pitch. Slider is taken for strike one by Borden. One offering. Tim grounds a foul. But out front. No balls, two strikes. Lights starting to take effect on the diamond. Sky's not completely dark yet. It's getting there. Barry with the 0-2. Tim stays alive, fouling it back to the bricks. Let's take a look at the South Atlantic League scoreboard brought to you by Corona Hard Seltzer. A couple of finals to bring you. The Hickory Crawdads win again. It's 9 wins in a row for Hickory. They are now 7-0 in the second half. 0-2 pitch is outside. 7-0 or 6-0? I think it's 7-0. Yeah, 7-0. Hickory beat Greensboro 5-2. Brooklyn 5-1 win over Jersey Shore. Everything else still in progress. Perry's 1-2 pitch. It's outside. Borden 2-2. Bottom of the eighth inning. Bowling Green leading Rome 4-1. And Winston-Salem has a 3-1 lead at Aberdeen. They're only in the top of the third. Must have experienced some weather. 2-2 pitch. Foul back to the net. Now the fans have found some entertainment of their own. They're doing the wave. Some people have very strong opinions on the wave. I am not one of those people. So you want to do the wave? Fine, do the wave. What's wrong with it? 2-2 pitch. Low for ball three. Clifford needs it second. Three-two pitch. And Borden swings and misses at the fastball. 97 miles per hour from Aaron Perry. And he elevated it. That's a pretty good pitch. 97 from the righty Perry. Here's Robleski. Looks like Greenville has all these arms that can run it up into the high 90s. First pitch, Robleski fouls it off right side. Hickory had a lot of guys who did that too. Robleski, 1-for-2, also worked a walk. 0-1 pitch, popped up, first base side. Tyler Miller in foul territory. And Miller makes the catch, 2-away. So towards the end of their final out, it is Colin Price. Price 0-for-2 with a walk tonight. Perry, fourteenth round draft pick in 2017. Says 2022 on the paper roster, but it's not. It's 2017. He was drafted out of Hurricane High School in Hurricane, West Virginia. First pitch is outside for ball one. All three of Asheville's hits have come to lead off an inning. And at no point have they really come close to scoring that leadoff hit. See if Price can find a gap here. Colin is a pretty dangerous hitter. Now one ball, one strike. 1-1 offering. It's a slider taken low. Two balls and a strike. Michael Sandel on deck, hoping for an opportunity here in this ninth inning. Two-one pitch, S ball up and away, 3-1. 8-0 drive lead it, two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Torres down to their final out. Perry, 3-1 pitch outside. So Price works a walk. That'll help the on-base percentage, which has been really good for Price all year. And Sandal will have an opportunity. Alex Arrow, the catcher, out there to talk with Perry. He's got his arm around him. Sandal 0 for 3. He struck out three times. Aaron Perry, first pitch. And the slider is low for ball one. So a Greenville team that just came from Bowling Green. That's where the tourists head next week. 1-0 pitch. Sandal chops a foul. And it's where Greenville celebrated their first half championship. Now, they celebrated after a loss, but you know what? You win the division, clinch a playoff spot, win or lose, that's worth celebrating. I don't care if you do it off a win or off a loss. I've seen the tourists do it both times, and both times you're pretty happy. I'm sure the Drive players were relishing the moments. 1-1 pitch is outside, 2-1. Greenville ended up losing 5 out of 6 in that series. It's tough to win at Bowling Green, has been for the last 3 years. The Hot Rods, year in and year out, have one of the best home records in the league. 2-1 from Perry. Slider called strike two. And earlier in the year, Bowling Green went to Fluor Field in Greenville, and the Drive beat the Hot Rods 5 out of 6 times. So both of those six-game series, the home team was the more dominant team. 2-2 pitch to Sandal. Swing and a miss. Just one in the dirt. And that'll do it. The tourists are shut out for the third time this year. Final score tonight, 8-0. And Asheville has not scored now in 17 straight innings. We're going to come back, wrap things up with our Black Tie Transportation postgame show. We'll break this one down and pick our Asheville Tourist Crapless Pizza player of the game. Stay with us.
Philip Price has committed himself to providing quality, affordable legal services to the people of Buncombe and surrounding counties. A proud supporter of the Asheville Tourists, Philip prides himself in his approachable business policies, taking the time to speak with every client personally. Philip would be honored to help you buy, sell, or refinance your home or property. Call Philip Price Law at 828-633-2374. Philip Price Law, Asheville's real estate closing attorney.
Tired of getting the runaround from your bank? Do you feel like you're just another number? Then say goodbye to your bank and all their high fees and join Telco Community Credit Union. Stop by your local branch and experience the credit union difference. Telco, where members matter.
Inspired by the inclusive and artistic community of Asheville, Wicked Weed was born from the desire to create. Initially specializing in West Coast-style IPAs and Belgian-style sour ales, Wicked Weed's portfolio has grown exponentially, offering a variety of styles while maintaining focus on quality and innovation. Pernicious IPA is your leadoff hitter for smooth refreshment, or hit for the cycle with Wicked Weed's robust selection of IPAs. Whatever you decide, swing for Wicked Weed on your next pitch.
Highwire Brewing's locally crafted beer is now available in 16-ounce six-packs for all year-round and seasonal varieties. Available at grocery stores and bottle shops throughout Western North Carolina or at one of their 3 Asheville tap rooms. Visit Highwire's taps in the concession area of the ballpark for an ice-cold pint.
Black Tie Transportation post-game show. Game totals will begin with the Drive, 8 runs, 10 hits, no errors, 5 left on base. For the Tourists, no runs, 3 hits, 3 errors, 7 left on base. Winning pitcher is Wickelman Gonzalez. He moves to 6-2 on the year. He's 6-0 since the start of May. Losing pitcher is Nolan DeVos in his Asheville Tourist debut. But don't worry, we're going to mention DeVos again here in just a minute. Attendance 3,726. Time of game 2 hours and 49 minutes. The drive used a double steal to score a run in the first inning. Hit a solo homer in the fourth, two-run homer in the fifth, three-run homer in the eighth, and then added one more on a throwing error in the eighth inning. That was their eight runs. The two-run homer in the fifth, Briner Bonacy, 491-foot blast. Longest home run this stadium has seen in at least a decade. But our Asheville Taurus Crapless Pizza player of the game is the Taurus had no offense to speak of. It's going to be the starting pitcher, Nolan DeVos, and that's why I said we're going to get to him in a minute. DeVos was very good here tonight. Through 4 1/3, allowed only two hits, gave up two runs. I thought there were a couple of soft runs, could have been avoided. You know, it happens sometimes in this ballpark, but DeVos, I was very impressed with him. I think he is on his way to
5-6-7, the Hawks lineup. Hawks trailing 3-0 here in the top of the fifth. Joey Estes pitching well, and out of the windup, he delivers. And Nzenzo fouls it off the top of the screen, strike one. Estes has allowed three base runners. A single by Gilbert, a double by Daniels, a walk by Drew. Estes facing one over the minimum thanks to a pair of double plays. And Nzenzo smacks a foul off to the right. No balls, two strikes. Joey Estes, top 10 pitching prospect in the A's system. A Texas League leader in ERA, innings, whip, and batting average against. Pitch missing to Nzenzo in the dirt. One ball, two strikes. 3.47 ERA, ranked second. Innings pitched, 70 frames, also second inning play today. A whip of 1-1-0, third best. And his batting average against, 2-11, ranking fourth in the Texas League. Here's the pitch by Estes, and it's down and out. Two balls and two strikes. And now the windup, the 2-2, and Nzenzo bangs that one off his foot. It's already starting to take into effect with the heavy cloud cover in the later start tonight. Start times here this week, 6:34 Wednesday, 7:04 last night, 7:33 tonight. Here comes the 2-2 to Zach. Chopper to third, charged by right, and he throws to first base on target to get Nzenzo. One away. Great starting pitching, really, for the Rockhounds here in the series. Both guys allowing three runs in the first. Jack Cushing on Wednesday, after allowing three runs, pitched into the seventh and not allow another marker. He retired 13 of the final 17 that he faced. Then Jack Perkins, after allowing three runs and five hits in the first, really settled in last night. Here's a line drive base hit by Colin Barber. Out in the center field. Barber, the DH tonight, with a one-out knock here in the fifth. Third hit for the Rockhound, or for the Hooks, compared to five.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth, and we've got an update for you as we move away from the Corpus Christi Hooks broadcast here in Fayetteville. The managers and the umpiring crew have come together here at about the 9:30 mark in the evening, and they have decided to call this ball game. We have played at least five innings, so the game can go final, and the Woodpeckers, Colin, are going to walk away with a 4-1 win tonight in a game where they scored early, three runs in that first inning, thanks to a two-run home run from Dari Lorenzo, RBI double from Luis Encarnacion. And then after that, an electric play, Roylen Machandy hustling out an inside-the-park home run in the home sixth inning to get it to 4-0. One run against Jose Fleury in the sixth, and then before we could get to the seventh, the rain started to come down, and now we've got a lot of lightning and heavy rainfall still in the area. So we're going to call it after six innings, and the Woodpeckers will certainly take the win however they can grab it right now, but their offense helped lead them forward in this game. Tyler Guilfoyle with his 8 strikeouts was fantastic, but the topic going into today's game was where the hit's going to come from, and guys started to produce.
Yeah, they got it from the get-go with 3 straight to begin the ball game. You had Zach Cole lead things off, being the table setter that he is with the single in the bottom of the first inning. And honestly, let's go back actually to the top of the first inning where things looked like it was another here-we-go-again for the Woodpeckers with back-to-back walks issued by Guilfoyle to start his outing. Huge moment in that game was him striking out the side following that, stranding both those runners on base for Cole to lead off the bottom half of the inning with the single, and then Luis Encarnacion hits one off the left field wall to bring home the opening run. And then we talked about it all pregame and really throughout the broadcast. It's been 7 games since the Woodpeckers have last hit a home run, and Dar Lorenzo changed that with one swing of the bat, snuck one right over the right field wall, over the leap of the right fielder Logan to make it 3-0. And I think that was really the lift that Tyler Guilfoyle needed on the mound, because after that he was lights out, gave up a couple of hits here and there, no more walks, and as you mentioned, a season-high 8 strikeouts to boot. And then just to kind of icing on the cake, really, in that 5th inning, you saw Roilán Machado lead it off, got into one, the ball gets away from the left fielder Glass, and he didn't slow down for a second, and it took a really good slide to get in under the tag of Smelly, but he was able to pull it off. First inside the park home run since September 12th of 2021. Yeah. That was Kobe Cotto. That was also his first professional home run right at the end of that 2021 season, coincidentally enough, against the Kannapolis Cannonballers at Atrium Health Ballpark. So there weren't any fireworks that were set off because of the rain on Friday fireworks. Woodpeckers did all those fireworks on the diamond with a big-time win to get back in the win column and close the gap a little bit as well, seemingly, in the Carolina League South Division standings.
Yeah, you gain a game on the team in Kannapolis, tied with Columbia at the top of the division, and the Fireflies were down big tonight as well. So they'll gain a game on both first-place teams. And, yeah, like you said, you won't have fireworks tonight post-game. They're officially calling the show here on this Friday night. But good news is we've got a big Monday night show, and you might as well just throw everything packaged up for tonight into Monday. Extend the show, and it'll be a great fireworks spectacular for you to close out this series. And we can't wait to bring it to you. But first, we got a ball game tomorrow. We got a 5:05 first pitch on Saturday night. Right-hander Limber Santa will get the ball for the Woodpeckers, 2-5 with a 5.80 ERA. And left-hander Tyler Schweitzer for Kannapolis, 6-2 with a 3.45 ERA. Faith and Family Night out at the ballpark as well. And we'll have the call for you right here on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app. Weather has finalized tonight's ball game after 6 innings. It has gone final, and the Woodpeckers grab their first win of the homestand, 4-1 the final score, and go to 32-40 on the year, 2-4 in the second half of play. Well, Kannapolis goes to 4-2 in the second half. The win tonight will go to Jose Fleury, and the loss to the starter, Peyton Paulette. That'll do it for us tonight in Fayetteville. The Woodpeckers win it 4-1 in 6 innings in a game called Due to Weather. We'll see you out at the ballpark tomorrow, or have you right here on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. Until then, everybody, have a wonderful rest of your Friday evening and a very safe start to your 4th of July holiday. This has been Woodpeckers Baseball live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Good night.
People are talking about Conviva Care Centers, and we like what they're saying. Conviva is a primary care practice devoted to helping seniors live in
news, stats, ticketing information, upcoming promotions, and merchandise. Be sure to visit FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.